I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
To go. 6:11 in America's finest today.
Have no place to go.
Where it's going to snow tomorrow afternoon.
Darling, have no place to go.
Mother Nature's on crack.
Have no place to go.
Good morning, and welcome to show number 1,362. Lou's going to do his first call here in a few minutes. If you have anything you'd like to have fixed, there's something broken on your house. Oh, hell, if there's something broken in your life.
Are we going to ever do whiny staff questions again?
Sure, if you have one.
I have a whiny staff question.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the number if you'd like to be the first caller. We have prizes. Bridget Gaynor's in later. We love Bridget. My daughter, Amy Cochran's on the show today. We love Amy.
We do.
She's our favorite Cochran.
And good choice by you. And Dave, I don't even know if you're aware, but the shirt you're wearing is the color of Autism Awareness Month. The blue.
Yes, that's why I wore it.
I thought you picked it up for that reason.
Yeah.
Dean Richards is a moron after 8 o'clock.
Actually, he may not be a moron after 8 o'clock.
What happened?
On TV, they have him booked 8:15 to 8:25, so we may get him a minute before or a minute.
What's he doing at 8:15 on TV?
He didn't explain to us what the segment was. He just gave us the alert.
He treats that TV job like that's his main job.
I know.
I mean, Moron Entertainment makes him famous.
Yes, it does. Now, Bridget Gaynor will be here during Moron Entertainment, so maybe she can step in as Moron Entertainment. But the only entertainment story to know today, anyway, is that Taylor Swift dropped a new song called "Me," and it's amazing. So.
It was a reveal during the draft show.
I know. It was so great. She had the cutest dress on. It was rainbow. It was fabulous.
Oh, Tay Tay.
Leslie, is it Hebjun?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
She's the Apt Cookies lady. If you've ever been to Apt Electronics and you get free cookies, she's the lady that does the cookies.
Yeah.
Myra Sampson, one of the world's greatest people.
She's bringing something in so that the cookies we eat are warm, just so you know.
What do you mean, like a cookie oven?
Yeah.
Okay, so why haven't I ever heard of the cookie person? When I was at Apt, I never got cookies.
When was the last time you were at Apt?
I was there and bought a TV and a washer and dryer.
I didn't see any
year.
Cookies either.
I never
either
got cookies.
What do you guys hide?
Here's a bulletin. Walk into other parts of the store.
Well, I walked through the whole store.
No, you didn't. No, if you missed the cookies.
I did, because my husband was haggling with the salesman, so I was
you're
walking
both
around.
More importantly, is there going to be any milk here with the cookies?
Oh, you know what? We might have to go get
some. Dunkin' Donuts downstairs. I'm sure we can find you milk. I tell you, the other day, I was trying to find a place to have breakfast with John Carney, and I go over to Swiss Hotel, and I love the Palm, because it's on the way to my car. And I go over to the Palm, and they shut breakfast down at 10:30, but they don't open lunch until 11:30. Now, what they do for that hour, I don't know. But I asked the guy at the Palm, I go, is there a place nearby I'm not thinking of where we could grab breakfast? Excuse me one sec, Dave. I'll be right back.
Yes. You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show.
I'm back now. And a guy goes, I don't know if you know, that building right there, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. I come to the Palm to sit down for breakfast, and you're going to send me to Dunkin' Donuts?
The other part of that story is they did direct you to a breakfast place across the street, but you
couldn't find it.
You walked in a circle.
Yeah, because I don't have the GPS.
Which place?
Eggies, I think it's called. It's like downstairs across the plaza.
They couldn't.
So where'd you end up going?
The Hyatt.
Over to the Hyatt.
Yeah, the Hyatt.
And they're both slow walkers.
The Hyatt was like four blocks from me.
3 hours later, you could have had lunch.
It took a long time.
You know, to be fair, I invented slow walking.
Yeah.
But also to be fair, I slow walk in the case of, well, John DeCoste, for instance. John DeCoste. In the case of John Carney, because I don't want them to feel bad.
Yeah, John Carney, he redefined walking slow.
And it's called sauntering.
Yeah.
He more moseyed.
Yeah, he was a slow walker.
And I'll talk more about this later, but quick story before we start the top six here, which we're already late for. Congratulations to our friend Lourdes Duarte, the 2019 Center for Journalism Integrity and Excellence Awards yesterday, celebrating the finest from DePaul. And all your big TV stars from Chicago were there. So nice to see everybody, and the Distinguished Journalist Award recipient, is the executive editor of the New York Times, Dean Baquet. To have a chance to tell him thanks for the fine work the New York Times is doing in the era of Trump was a good thing, too. But afterwards, we were taking pictures with Lourdes, and the cameraman was out was taking the pictures. The cameraman from Channel 9 was there to shoot the thing. So I said to the cameraman, a bunch of people said, you got to get in. I said to the cameraman, well, I'll take him. I mean, you guys are all from TV. I'll take it. So I took pictures of the team without me, because they took a bunch of pictures with me. The one they posted is one without me.
Sure, that was just a fluke.
No, I'm pretty sure it was on purpose. Time now for the Top 666.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Time now to start. Snow on Saturday. How much snow? 5 inches?
It depends on where you live, really. There's a band of snow that will go from mainly the city, if you make a curve on it, up into Wisconsin, anywhere from 3.9 to 6.4 out by Rochelle and
southern
5 inches
Wisconsin.
By Rockford. 2 to 3 inches in southern Wisconsin. It's going to be like northwest Illinois that I think gets the most of this.
How about southern and western burbs?
Could be a couple of inches.
It's May frickin' first in a week. What is this?
So, Steve, I have a track meet to attend. You know, it'll be on the lake.
It'll probably be canceled.
Do you think? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't think. I think I'm going to be confident and positive about this. I don't think it's going to materialize.
I think you two were wrong last time about
I was.
Track meets are fun in the snow.
Yeah,
I coached track for 14 years. Let me tell you, we had snow. We had everything. Wind. Oh.
And I wonder why you could be negative at times.
Yeah, and the thing
you're probably still warming up.
I enjoyed it so much.
The thing is, if it's not snowing, Mary, there's going to be a cold rain and maybe some sleet.
Oh, it sounds horrible. Right. I love Mary. Yeah. I enjoyed it
good
so much.
Times.
I did. I really did, especially the triple jump. But anyway.
Next, President Trump and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan are scheduled to meet today in Washington to discuss a bilateral trade deal because the end of the TPP that Trump was crowing about is killing us. Japan is crushing farmers in this country in particular. Next, Cook County makes it illegal to refuse to show or rent property to people with criminal records of a certain kind. So it's illegal to rent to certain criminal folks, even though they've done their time and they're out? Is that your understanding of this?
There's an individual assessment that's going to be made.
Well, where are they supposed to live if they've done their time?
Right. That's the thing. So,
Give me some details on this.
Yeah, because it doesn't apply to sex offenders who have had a criminal conviction, but shows that a denial based on the conviction, it's necessary to protect the people around them, so...
So sex offenders can buy or rent, but other criminals can't?
No, they're saying other criminals, sex offenders in particular, can't be shown certain properties because if there's...
Oh, if there's kids nearby.
Yeah, so...
Okay, well, that's not outrageous.
Yeah.
Though there's holes in that idea, too. Next, Robbie Gould won't be traded, the 49ers say. Robbie Gould apparently has made it clear that he'd like to be traded, and he'd also like to be traded to the Bears. Don't we have a kicker called Loser or something? What's that kicker's last name that we have?
Chris Blewett.
Yeah, Chris Blue.
So,
Chris Loser would be a terrible name. Robbie Gould not wanting to kick in San Francisco is not exactly a great headspace to have your kicker in.
Well, he didn't. He never came out and said, trade me to the Bears. I think that's the assumption.
I think it was clear.
Well, I think the assumption is he would like to be here since he still lives here and he went to the Bears playoff game last year.
Kids. In fifth grade, I had a crush on Terry Moore, and Terry was the hot fifth grader. And I used to follow her around and stuff and try to make her laugh. And it was clear what my intentions were. I mean, I was ready to, go to
but
fifth.
But you didn't come right out and say
fifth grade, third base. You know what fifth grade, third base is? Sitting next to her at the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. Tell me I don't have game. I didn't come right out and say it. But that's the Robbie Gould thing. Robbie Gould is chasing Terry Moore.
Okay, I don't think he knows that.
Worst analogy ever.
But John Lynch, the general manager of the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan, the coach, say they expect Robbie Gould to be there. They understand he doesn't want to be there long term, but for now, he's their best option, and he'll be kicking for them. So they're not going to trade him.
By the way, I'm going to see Terry Moore at the 40-year high school reunion.
Yeah, is that going to be awkward?
Well, I haven't seen her in 40 years. So, and I haven't changed a bit. I hope she hasn't let herself go. Max, James Holzhauser took home another $90,812 on Thursday's show. His 16-day Jeopardy total is now $1,225,987.
Did you see when he's making his betting, he is doing numbers that are like his anniversary, his mm-hmm. parents' anniversary. They're mm-hmm. like, it's very calculated as to, it's not just, you know, even number to get the most money.
He's a genius.
It's the ultimate definition of house money, yeah. Something with which he's familiar as a gambler.
By the way, his brother was on the show yesterday. His brother's great.
He was.
And you get that podcast at WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. What's the brother's name?
Ian.
Ian Holzhauser. He's a lawyer out in Naperville. And finally this, Mary Vanderveld on, what is this, Facebook?
That would be Facebook.
Posted on Facebook last night. Is anyone else disappointed in Survivor?
Wow, I made the top six at six?
I'm bored with it. What's the point of the edge of extinction? Will anyone ever go home?
That was pretty good, Steve.
Jeez.
That's a pretty good Mary.
That's how I felt last night while I was having my popcorn and watching Survivor.
What kind of public response did you get?
I got a few. I don't think many people are watching it anymore.
And the draft was on last night, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So, Mary,
it's making me mad. It's like I've been watching it. How many seasons now? Like 18 years or something?
And here's another thing. They say it's the 38th season.
I don't know how
but
many.
No, that's what they say.
It's 2 a year.
Season, but it's, okay, so it's 2 a year. So yeah. It's not really it's like a half season.
Right. They should do years.
No, it's like Dancing with the Stars is on their 109th season.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but, you know, they vote the people off. Then they send them to this little island called the Edge of Extinction. And then they have a chance to come back. But they never come back. This one lady's been there for like 18 days.
Sounds like the circle of hell.
Were you ever sent to the Edge of Extinction?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could list the radio stations.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
6:27, and Bob from Inverness standing by, but let me get Lou on here. Good morning, Lou.
Guess what today is?
Friday.
Misericordia Candy Days weekend.
Oh, that's a big deal. Tell people what that is.
It's a really big deal. There will be hundreds of volunteers starting today and tomorrow collecting any and all spare change you may have rolling around in the car. To help support Misericordia, which is one of the finest organizations in the Chicagoland area, helping children and adults with disabilities.
I got like $15. I'm not exaggerating. There's a change container in my car, and I know it holds like $15 in quarters and dimes and nickels and whatever. I'm going to look for the first guy. I'm going to give it to him.
You're a good man, and I know that you're very cognizant now. That, you know, you've lost a lot of weight. You're really happy, but you do get a free package of Jelly Bellies, which the Jelly Belly Company has been super supportive over all these years to provide it for free as a little thank you to people. So if you get a little sweet tooth.
Not a big jelly bean guy, but I will pass them along to people that are.
I'll take them.
Yeah. Hey, Lou, when did they switch over from the suck candy to the Jelly Bellies?
Oh, gosh. I think the Jelly Belly thing has been almost 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Long time. So they've really been super generous and a great partner for Misericordia. And the volunteers, you know, today's a great day. Tomorrow's not looking great. So empty out your car today. When I get done this morning, my wife and I are going to be out collecting as well and putting boots on the street. And there's a really wonderful group of kids and, you know, high school students, grade school kids, just everyday regular adults. If people want to learn more, then go to misericordia.org.
Bob in Inverness. Bob, I know you're going to drop some change in a bag, in a bucket, in somebody's hand as soon as possible. But in the meantime, what's troubling you?
Morning, Steve.
Hi.
We're having a problem with these black streaks on our shingles on our roof, and we can't seem to get rid of them. They're just kind of annoying.
It's a brand new product from my friends at Wet and Forget that have a rapid hose applicator now. It's something that, quite honestly, I've been asking them to create for the past several years, and last year they came out with it. It's a highly concentrated material that you put a garden hose on, and it'll shoot 30 feet. And so now that we're warm enough, and actually today would be the perfect day to do it because it's supposed to rain tomorrow. You don't have to get up on a ladder, or maybe you do, like even just a little step ladder. Start to spray the roof from the top down, and this solution of Wet and Forget and the water will kind of embed itself into the shingles, and it'll work with the rain and the wind, and it will help to eat up the organic material that's causing those black streaks, and you should see results in about 30 days.
Might even snow tomorrow, dude, so you need to do it today.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'll get out there. I appreciate that, though. Hold on, man.
We got something for you.
All right,
it's Bob in Inverness.
Bob's going to get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minuteman. Call 855-955-HVAC.
And by the way, the deal there is the weather station on a day like tomorrow would just go, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Right. That's all
are
it says.
Are you moving?
Yeah. I love carrying that weather station around complaining about the temperature at work. That's my favorite thing.
I'm leaving. No, I'm just leaving. Let's go live to a whiny staff question. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Lou, good morning.
Morning.
Every year I have sparrows that come and nest in my dryer vent on the side of my condo. This year they are in every vent. They have invaded even the ones that have covers on them. And I'm wondering if there's some solution that I'm missing besides climbing a ladder and pulling all these nests out.
Yeah, rent, so this rent is control, right? They probably got a good deal.
Yeah. Yep. Low assessments. And
probably, yeah. I'm actually talking about rodent repellents this morning on the WGN Morning News that without having to do any kind of poisons. With the birds and the sparrows, what I will tell, and I'll say this today on the air, but I'll say this first here, is that you really have to get on those nests currently before they get too far along because, you know, from an environmental standpoint, if you're not going to let them build your nest under the gutter or near the downspouts or whatever, you want them to retrain them to go somewhere else, like in a tree. So if you can literally just take a hose and blow off areas you can reach, on the vent areas, what I would tell you is there are sprays, repellents that you can spray around the vent on the surface of the siding. Bonide makes a spray called Repels All, and it has a little bit, and this is probably a touchy term to say, but it does have a bit of an ammonia smell that's safe to use, and you're going to spray that around those areas to try and deter them from coming back. But the sooner that people do that now, especially with the nests, the birds will get the idea that maybe I should go in a tree where no one's going to bother me.
Hmm. Interesting.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other wine?
Big fan of the morning show, Steve Grzanich. Listen to it all the time.
Thank you. Yeah, he does a nice job. Dave, you have wine?
An update on the birds. The birds are gone.
Oh, so
this time last year,
they've
the
all
birds
moved to Grzanich's.
I didn't have sparrows. These are robins, but they're pecking at my windows. But they left.
Nice.
So
good job.
Thanks. Well, thanks to you.
Yeah. And one more. Let's go to a texter since we haven't done a text yet. Can that new Wet and Forget product you just talked about be used on a deck for black and green streaks and growth?
It absolutely can. One thing that I want you to all know with the product of Wet and Forget is you want to hose down any vegetation around the perimeter of the deck area, because if you get a little overspray, the whole idea is that it goes after organic material, which would be your lawn or bushes. Wet that down first with just water. Then apply the Wet and Forget to the deck area, and it's really quite amazing.
Somebody else wants to know if cicadas invading our trees can be stopped. Isn't it early for cicadas?
A little early. I doubt it.
Well, the best thing to do is to cut the trees down if you really want to.
No. Easy, Mr. T.
Wow, good reference. Lou's on TV here in a few minutes, and you should watch him while you listen to the show. Never turn the show down because the audio matches what's on TV all morning.
Right. We provide a transcript if you'd like.
Have a great weekend, and thanks for all the work you do at BizRecordia.
Love you, people.
Love you back. There you go. That's Lou. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Havana, Unana.
Now, I may be saying, why would I play this when Ana Balaval is just coming on and she's from Puerto Rico? Because I like the song. My heart is in Havana. There's something about his manners. Havana. Let's go to the lovely and talented Annabelle Laval now. Good morning, Annabelle Laval.
Play it because I'm the only one who can tell you what she's saying in that Havana Una Na part.
Havana Na Na Na.
Good morning, everyone.
There should be a Puerto Rican version of that. San Juana Na Na Na.
She does a great job. And there's a poem in Spanish. It says that Puerto Rico and Cuba are birds of a feather, that they're the two wings of one bird. So.
That's very sweet. How about Bayamón? No, 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 no.
Nice. Look at you knowing Bayamón.
Mayagezezezezez.
Do you have the map in front of you?
Nope.
I'm so proud of
What's the most famous Puerto Rican song? Is it Vaya con Dios?
No, that's not Puerto Rican.
Oh, it isn't? I thought it was.
Another.
Oh, goodness. You do so well, and then boom.
Why? What is Vaya con Dios? What is that tied to? I thought that was.
I don't know, but it's not us.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to relate.
I also
there, honey.
Have to know this. It's like when I started at GN and they asked me, "What do we do for Cinco de Mayo?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm Mexican."
Yeah.
That's funny. Is that why you hired me? Because I could cover all the bases.
That's pretty funny. So yesterday I was at our friend Lourdes Duarte's award ceremony from the ball.
Yeah. My daughter had to get her braces at the same time, so I couldn't go.
Well, if you look on the Channel 9 website, you'll see a photo of everybody but me because I took the picture.
Oh, you're so kind.
Yeah, well, they took one with me, too. They decided to post the other one.
Well, that corporate synergy works so well.
Hey, Anna, how are the braces?
Miserable.
Yeah.
Wait, back to
this. She's in a lot of pain.
Yeah, so how old is she?
She's 11, and she got the bottom ones, and then she got, like, a really obnoxious retainer that she can't take off ever. And so we've been on Tylenol. So if anyone has any suggestions on how to control her pain without drugging her, which is what her mother would do, let me know, because it was, like, at 3:50 in the morning she woke up, and she needed, like, two ice packs because the mouth hurts and the head hurts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can't she take a couple Advil or no?
She can. She can take one because she's 11 and tall enough, but she, you know, it's every 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And they don't know how to handle constant pain, so.
Right. I think it takes a couple days for them to get used to it, and then they, but the braces are, and then, like, you go back every, like, 6 weeks for tightening. It's like a torture thing for a year and a half or whatever.
We all remember it. Like, whoever wore braces remembers the pain, and you kind of feel bad that your kid is going through that, but, you know, so many other children are going through worse things. So suck it up, girl.
Right. You're lucky that you're getting straight teeth, kiddo. There's people without food. Yeah.
I told the orthodontist, where did he want my kidney? And he didn't find it funny, Steve.
What? Then he doesn't understand great comedy. I mean, I think that's clear.
Then he drove away in his Lexus, and I drove away my 11-year-old Honda.
How was home? How's your mom and dad?
They're great. They're old.
Can they hear each other, or are they at a point now where every conversation's yelling?
And my dad won't wear a hearing aid, so the kids are speaking to him in English and, like, in Midwestern English, and he's like, ah.
And
you know, they're doing great, and they're sharp enough. My dad just wrote, like, I swear, Steve, a 4-page letter to the congressman who's in charge of the Puerto Rico committee, explaining to him why Puerto Rico's so dysfunctional and why solving the status is really not what we need to do now. And it was so excellent. Of course,
that's great.
Like, my dad's like, you have to edit this because it does sound like a retired 80-year-old man venting. But so I edited it for him, but it was even enlightening for me because, as it happens here too, the main problem is that we have a 2-party system, and they have focused on status, and then they're all corrupted, right? So they get elected, they pick their cronies, they pick their friends, they mess up the government, and then the next time the next party comes up and says, we're going to make you a state, or we're going to make you keep the status quo, and mess it up another way. So,
well, that's the thing. I mean, if Washington thinks, oh, this will be nice, let's pat him on the head and make him a state, that doesn't fix anything.
Well, they won't. They say that, but, you know, there's never really a commitment.
Well, it's been outrageous the way Puerto Rico has been treated since the hurricane, and it's really brought a bright light to the problem. And until we solve it, we haven't solved it. But you know what? There's nothing but cowards in Congress.
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's kind of par for the course, right? It's a disease that apparently goes with the job.
I don't know. I'd like to have someone with just a modicum of heroic stand up and go, the cause is more important than the job. And since John.
Right. And sometimes those get sucked in, right? So.
Yeah. Well, since John McCain died, I don't know who that's going to be.
Yeah. We woke up really happy today.
Yeah. How about that? Did you see your brother?
I saw my brother. You mean the guy that looks like a conservative rabbi? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He has a giant beard. Here in Chicago, he would be really hip. He'd be like brewing beer and selling CBD oil. But in Puerto Rico, he stands out.
I wouldn't think a beard would be a great thing in Puerto Rico because it's hot.
Oh, there's plenty of people with them. You know, we're really? Hipsters. And he looks really cool and he can't grow hair in his head. So I think this is.
Whoa, on the ball jokes. Come on, huh?
He's doing good. His job is the one that's kind of like the iffiest. Like, he'll get paid and sometimes won't get paid. He's a journalist for a business newspaper. And then my sister-in-law's doing well in advertising, and my friends are doing okay. The island is beautiful. You know, nature responds really well. Every day was sunny. The sky seems closer to you. And the tourists are back. And now we have a different kind of tourist. You know, the bed and breakfast. No, I'm sorry, the Airbnb tourist.
Yeah.
Who's willing to sponsor more local stuff. Puerto Rico has a problem, and it's because, and I hear it from everyone. Oh, we don't go there because there's not an all-inclusive. And it tends to be really expensive. And people just want to drink all they can and eat all they can and not pay a lot of money. And it is pricey. But the Airbnbs have been a good option, and people willing to go to the local small mom-and-pop places. And that's been good.
The all-inclusives, though, they're like a cruise without an ocean because, you go and you got the buffet and you eat too much. And then you waddle out to the beach and you drink too much. I think you need to work harder when you're on vacation. You need to walk a little. By the way, Texter's trying to help. They said Orajel for pain from the braces is good.
Okay. See, okay, good. I'm going to go put that on her now. I'm on tape today because of the spill yesterday. We were canceled, so I have to go to the office when I'm done with you. So I'm still at home. But I'm going to get out and leave my husband with everything, which is what I'm very good at in the morning.
Well, that's smart. And tell him we said hello. But again, to reiterate, Puerto Rico is open for business. It's never been more beautiful, and everybody should go.
You know, and venture out, and people are extremely nice and open to see you, and it's a great place. You know, it has its problems, but I think everyone who goes, if you check my Facebook page, there is a letter from Alicia Keys, who just shot a video there, about how she felt in Puerto Rico and how what makes Puerto Rico special is, you know, not only its beauty, but its people. And it described us perfectly. So
that's nice.
If you can do that and support us that way, I think I've become the ambassador. A friend of mine from school the other day said that she was at the records department or something, and the lady was helping her out with documents from her client, and her client's from Puerto Rico, and she said, "Oh, Puerto Rico, Ana Belaval." And I'm like,
"How about that?
Like, I'm an ambassador.
How about that? Look at
screw
you.
Screw you, Ricky Martin."
I think screw you, Ricky Martin, probably along with screw you, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think that's what we're looking for here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I was at the supermarket in Puerto Rico, and this lady's like, "I follow you on Instagram. I saw your Ricky Martin thing. So what's happened?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "I think he got scared."
I bet he did. Yeah, listen.
Maybe.
He hasn't met a real woman.
No, unfortunately he has. He just didn't like them.
It's okay. He can choose.
I love him no matter what. I can still take care of his children.
Well, vaya con Dios. What?
Ay, Dios mío. At least you can pronounce my name, not like that left guy.
What does he call you?
Anamana.
Well, he doesn't even try. Vaya mon. Okay. All right. Have a great morning, and our best to your daughter, and get her some Orajel.
I will. I'm going to go dunk her in that now.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Love you too.
There you go. Crank it up a little.
I was born in Puerto Rico. I was born in Puerto Rico. I was born.
3 inches of snow here tomorrow afternoon. Who's up for O'Hara in the morning, San Juan by noon? Who's up for that? Raise your hand.
Me. Have you been?
Ever been? Puerto Rico? Never.
I've been to Puerto Rico.
Me too.
I've been a couple of times. It really is, as Anna says, just beautiful.
It was one of the best vacations I ever took.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We played golf on a couple of courses, and they were gorgeous. So it was a lovely trip.
All right, I'm going to Puerto Rico. I'll see you guys Monday. Coming up next hour in the Steve Cochran Show, 7 o'clock hour, Bridget Gaynor. Also, my daughter Amy Cochran will be on talking about Autism Awareness Month. I know I got to go to church on Sunday because I've got to be a better person. Because every time I look up at the monitors here, we have monitors all over the newsroom, all over the studio, and TV news as well. And every time they show a picture of the father of that little boy who was murdered, I want to go to jail for at least half a day so I could be in a cell with him and beat the hell out of him. So I know I need to improve as a person because I can't seem to shake that instinct.
I'm not so sure you need to improve.
So, coming up, Stories That Matter. Steve Grzanich is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
What is this, Amber?
Taylor Swift, her new song, Me, exclamation point. With Brandon Urie from Panic at the Disco.
Sounds very egotistical. But it's empowering, supposedly.
Yeah. There, you're never going to find another person like me.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, depending,
right?
On, who
depending
it is.
On the breakup. Bridget Gaynor's here. We love Bridget. Nice
good
to
morning.
See you. Look fabulous. Very
Thank
busy
you.
Day.
Well, yeah. All the big stuff.
By the way, I never finished thanking everybody
all
yesterday.
The big stuff.
So yesterday at this TV deal, I was just telling you that Newton Minow was there, walking, talking history.
Yep.
And so that was great seeing him. Paul Rennie and Jen Lyons, Big Shot TV executives, and Ms. Pudar as well. Pudar. And listen to this anchor lineup that was there to support Lourdes. Micah Mateer, Carol Marine, Marianne Ahern, Marion Brooks. Ben Bradley was sitting next to me. I go, shut up, Ben. People are talking. And Chuck Gowdy. So, everybody on television was there to tell Lourdes how much she means to him. So it was nice.
That is nice.
Still a great story, too. She was talking about getting interested in journalism. And the way she told it was great, because she said she was really inspired by the story of a man and his friends who had to escape Cuba. And they fashioned an old car into a sort of boat. But because they were 19... within a day or two, they lost all their food and their water, were eventually rescued. And she said, and that man grew up and settled in Chicago, and he's my father. And he was there. And I looked around and he's crying. It's a nice moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
Did you behave? Because she was concerned about you behaving.
I was fine. You know, I mean, I was fine. I heckled a little, but not her. So
it's your obligation as a good guest to do
right?
a little heckling.
Come on. And the DePaul, it's odd, the DePaul faculty still says no. I thought maybe I could get in there and get myself a little professorship. Not so much.
No.
They don't want you influencing the youth of America?
No. So there's lots of things I could say to them. Come on.
Such a lost opportunity.
You can teach a class on bands you were in.
Well, just one thing. That would only be one part of our sections of learning.
Bands I knew. I'm with the band.
Right.
Protocol for I'm with the band.
All of it.
They may not know that.
All of it. All right, so we were talking about something last hour. We need some schooling on this.
Okay.
Cook County.
Let me school you.
Cook County, something
yes.
you're well familiar with.
I am.
Cook County Commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
A new law, he said with a question mark,
yes.
about where criminals who have served their time can and can't live?
Yes.
What's the law?
So right now, if you have been to jail, you're convicted of a crime, and you try to rent an apartment, often people can say, you know what, I don't really want you to rent this apartment. And unlike being, you know, Jewish or black or gay or any of those things, it's not protected, even though you're done with your debt to society.
You're not a protected class.
You're not a protected class.
Okay.
So the thought was, look, it is up to the landlord. And the tricky thing about passing a law like this is up until the time of rental, the landlord has all the power. But once you rent to somebody, they really lose a lot of their power because it's really difficult to evict someone. So how do you find that balance? And all this does is to say, you know what? You don't get to ask in the first meeting, do you have a conviction? You can go through, you can check other things, you can check their credit. And then at the end, you can ask them about it, and you guys can have a discussion about it, but don't let it be the first thing that you look at. It's kind of like on a job application where they have this thing called ban the box. In the first page, they say, have you been convicted of anything? And look, at the conviction might have been, you know, check kiting 10 years ago or shoplifting when you were
20. But isn't this largely the honor system between the landlord and the person?
It's a little bit the honor, but it's a
little bit
more.
Because the background check that I would think you would do, wouldn't the background check show?
The credit check doesn't show it. So you have to do another
Oh, you have
specific,
to pay for a criminal background
a second,
check.
Yeah, a criminal background check. And the look, you got to balance. What are the needs of a small landlord? I mean, my parents had an apartment building our whole life. You know, I was born in Roseland, and they kept their apartment. And, you know, so every Saturday of our life, we were doing something at the apartment. And what a landlord wants is to collect the rent and make sure nobody wrecks the building and life goes on. But you got to kind of give people a little bit of room, because about 25,000 people get out of jail every year.
Well, that's what I was curious about, because if you have paid your debt.
Yeah.
Because all this kind of is weird timing, right? Because it spins out of that Bernie Sanders chirping the other day that felons in prison, including murderers and sex offenders, still should be able to vote. Actually, no, Bernie. No, they shouldn't. But that extension doesn't necessarily tie all the way through, but topically it does.
Yeah.
And I understand why sex offenders shouldn't be living next to a school.
Got that. Yeah.
That
and that's
makes
taken
sense.
Care of in the rules.
But yeah. You're right. If somebody was shoplifting 10 years ago, I don't think they should be discriminated against where they get an apartment.
Right. Well, look, first of all, none of us are the worst thing we've ever done, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send someone to jail and they serve their time and then they're done, you're basically saying, like, you're never done being punished
yeah,
for this stupid
exactly.
thing that you did. And, you know, it's just like people not being able to vote when their conviction's done. You served your time and now you're back in the world. And unless you want to marginalize people for the rest of their life. And the scary thing about it is now with data and everything on the internet and computers, we can all know so much about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody gets a chance to start over.
Right.
Because you could have been in
you're
a
labeled.
Completely bad place at a time in your life. And look, people deserve consequences if they do something wrong, especially if those things they do wrong
but
hurt other people.
Once you've done your time.
But you got to have a chance to turn it over, because if not, we're just going to have a permanent class of people that is either going to have to continue to do illegal things to survive, or they're going to, you know, be totally marginalized.
And, well, actually, it seems quite sensible.
Yeah, it is quite sensible. So the board came together. There's rules. But, you know, you want to balance, because most of the people who own apartments in Chicago are individuals. You know, it's mostly 2, 4, and 3 flats.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not a lot of big corporate entities. So you just want to make sure it's fair for everybody.
Don't we still have an excessive amount of rental space, though, and they keep building buildings and stuff?
You know, it all depends on where you go. There's a lot of demand for rentals, and they're building this huge new building. Oh, God, where is it? They just announced it. It's like a massive apartment building. And I feel the same way. I'm like, who are all these people?
Well,
where
I don't
are they
understand. I don't understand how we keep seeing stories about people leaving Chicago and leaving Illinois, and we keep putting up places for people to move into.
And rents keep rising. I just read that on Monday, I think.
I think
I heard it on the opening bell that there's still rents are rising. So demand is high and rents are rising.
Steve, what do you know about this, Steve Grzanich, host of the opening bell?
Rents are rising, but we are the most popular rental city in the country.
So less people are owning, more people are renting.
More people are renting, and more people enjoy renting here and want to rent here.
You know, in some ways, it's kind of like how people are putting off getting married. You know, you're buying a home, you're getting married, you know, those typical things that you do. It allows you to, you know, you're not making a commitment, you're kind of checking things
out.
Well,
the crash of 07 and 08 really has changed the business model of being an adult.
Yeah.
Because these folks that are my kids' age
yep.
who are having kids, they're going to be able to tell their kids a story. Yeah, well, I moved out of your grandparents' house when I was 28, 29, 30, whatever. Bought my first house at 35. You know, and before it was like, okay, you're out at 22, you're
yeah.
buying a house at 25, you're having kids, whatever. It just everything yeah. is 10 years later.
It is. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Does it really matter? But when you think about all of these young people now living in the city, like it's a nice setup. But then, you know, I don't know. Does it get you on the back end?
And, you know, there's another positive, too, about home ownership that I think is not getting a lot of attention is if you look at how much your home is worth these days, it's gone up considerably. Even here in Chicago, we're one of the slower places in the country where prices have been rising. But it's a steady increase, and that's still a good investment.
Okay, so what about my math problem? My math problem is people leaving Chicago and leaving Illinois, but yet we're building more apartments and more people are moving here. I don't know how those work. Is that algebra?
See, I don't know. This whole thing about, first of all, we're such a net gain for the whole Midwest.
Right.
If you think about all the Midwestern cities, they're really losing people. And Chicago's the winner. Like, that's not all great in the sense you want to have a healthy region. But I think we are still a net gain. The question for me is, I always think we're a net gain of people who are younger, and we might be a net loser of people who are older, who are retiring okay. and leaving elsewhere.
They're going to rent in Florida and Arizona.
Yeah. Or they're, you know, I mean, maybe it's weather, maybe it's taxes. And I just think, look, we make such a big deal about tax rate and all these other things. People stay or go in a place for lots of really mostly personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the thing to push them over. I think what you're seeing is like a whole range of things. People don't make commitments to institutions in the way they did before. Churches, political parties, you know, whether it's marriage, staying at a job.
And we don't know if this is a good or a bad thing.
I don't know. I mean, it makes me a little bit...
It makes me uncomfortable, but I'm old.
Well, and I am also like a big participator in institutions, like practicing Catholic. I'm a member of the Democratic Party. I'm married. I bought a house. I mean, like, those things to me make you rooted somewhere. And then the commitments you make, you know, you tend to be more invested in the community, and that helps other people.
Well, I don't know if you know this. Like, most things, we're right. So we'll have to try to teach the children where they're wrong.
Yeah.
More with Bridget Gaynor coming up. Also, the most valuable person on the planet, Amy Cochran, on the show in a few minutes as well. And you guys, texters anytime, callers, 312. What's the number? 981-449-782-PIE. What is it?
No, 7200.
No, 312-981-7200. What a weird thing to forget. Christina Bucktown says, I disagree. I've owned and rented. I'm 55 years old. I choose a community whether I rent or own. I send my kids to schools. I go to church. I give money to local businesses. I pay my rent, which my landlord uses to pay taxes. I've invested in the community. You're making broad statements about renters, which are not true of all renters. Christine, come here for a second. This is a talk show. We have to generalize and make broad statements.
Right. But Christine is not one of those
people. We have commercials to get in. We've got news. There's all sorts of interruptions. If we had time to have a long-term, fair, fact-based discussion, this would be friggin' PBS.
Exactly.
You know? We're doing the best we can.
No one would be listening.
But Christine, there was no criticism of you there. I mean, that was all, you know, everything you said is valid. Now, we also have Aaron with a little bit of young person perspective here, because it says young person perspective next to Aaron's name. Aaron, how old are you?
Hi, I'm 26.
And you rent?
Yes.
Where do you rent?
I rent in Uptown on Marine.
Why do you rent instead of buy?
Oh, that's a good location.
That is a good location.
It varies. I mean, two blocks over there was a shooting, so my boyfriend makes sure I don't walk alone at night.
Oh, what a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So, but you rent instead of buying because it's a better idea for you, or you're just not ready to buy?
I would love to buy because I really don't enjoy pouring money down the drain every month. Financially, it's just not an option. I'm a school social worker. I'm making enough, but it's just not in my budget right now. So I do need to save more. You know, I graduated from grad school only, how long ago was that? 3 years ago. And so, you know, I'm just like starting out of my career, doing well, but still starting off. So I need to save up still.
And what does Mr. Wonderful do?
He's a, I'm on my way to work right now. He's
okay.
An assistant teacher at in Uptown in a school.
Look at you guys. Saving the world. Saving the world.
Yeah, a little bit. No, we actually met when we were working at a school together.
Well, that's a nice story.
Hey, hey, Aaron, just curious, what your expectation level, if you were to buy a place, because I find young people now, and I suffer for this too, like my parents' first home that they bought was a trailer, because that's what they could afford.
Right, that's okay.
And that's what I lived in. I never would have bought a trailer. I just waited till we had more money, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
I could have gone in earlier, but I wasn't going to.
Well, generational perspective, right?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I wanted something way nicer. My
Well, I'm sure it was a nice trailer.
No, it was nice, and yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, nice trailers.
Yeah, yeah, but it was, you know, what is a trailer? It was like $8,000. I mean, it was what they could afford. And
right.
So I'm just, but as a young person, I never would have considered. I wanted a million dollar house, you know. So I'm just curious, Aaron, if you have. you know.
What you're saying, Aaron, is do you have a realistic view of what you can afford?
Right. Buying it uptown is going to cost her way more money than if she went somewhere else. And you know what I mean?
Oh, no. I don't want to, long term, I don't want to stay in uptown. Actually, probably in the next few months, we're hoping to move to a more long term place to rent until we can, he's finishing his bachelor's. Right now, I'm in a job that's temporary. It's looking like it's going to turn permanent, but, you know, for people my age right now, we're not all necessarily, like, in our,
your forever life,
our, like, long-term jobs, and I'm not in my long-term home and not in my long-term job.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out generationally for you guys, because every 5 years for your generation appears to be different as opposed to your 25 yeah. 20 years ago, 50 years ago, you're going to buy a house, you're going to have a job, and you're going to do the same thing for right. 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's not that way with you guys.
Definitely. And it completely varies. Like, I grew up, everybody that I've grown up around, we all have done completely different things with our lives. Like, generally stayed in the Chicago area because me and my friends from high school are very close and we're close to our families. But within that, we've all led very different lives even within the past 5 years. Some of us have gotten married. Some of us have never dated in the past 5 years. Some are owning a home in the western suburbs. Some are, like me, renting in the most eastern part of Chicago, arguably. Marine, there's nothing east of it to live.
Yeah, totally.
Two of my friends have had kids that, you know, they're all 26. Like, we've all grown up very similarly, but within that, we've all chosen to live very differently.
Sure.
And that's really based on, one, personal preference, two, cultural background, and three, you know, what we can afford.
Last question, I'll let you go. Do you feel any pressure of keeping up with your friends who maybe have a little more money?
No, because honestly, my friends, it's very funny. My friends who have a little bit more money, they actually are like engineers. A lot of them, I have very smart friends. I did more like artistic kind of elective things. They were very into like math and science.
Right.
So two of them have gone on to become engineers and on paper are quote, quote, doing well. But they actually are very unhappy in their jobs and they have like stable, good, well-paying jobs, steady relationships, all that, like on paper doing well.
But they're not fulfilled.
Other generations might think, but they're not happy and they're not feeling fulfilled and they're not doing as well. And they're not like putting in as much effort or passion to their jobs because right. they don't enjoy them. And they'd said, you know, when I was deciding where to go for cut or what to do for my major, I thought, okay, I'll do engineering because I don't know, I'm good at math and I've heard it's a good job.
And well, I mean, honestly, it sounds like you're killing it. I mean, you sound very well balanced. I don't know what kind of a knucklehead you're involved with. He may be a complete loser, but you sound like you've got your life together unbelievably well.
It's been a journey. You know, I've struggled with mental health things. Who hasn't? But, mm-hmm. you know, I've struggled with mental health things, lots of career changes. But ultimately, I've learned a lot from it. And, but my friends who, like, are making more money, they are considering, like, complete new career changes. And I'm pretty happy in my career, even though it hasn't been on paper as successful or straightforward. But I think from the challenges, I've, like, figured out what I really enjoy doing. And in the maybe right now, I'm not making as much money. But in the future, once I've saved up, once I'm, like, in a steady job, getting benefits, I don't think it's really...
Yeah.
going to be that big of a difference.
Well, now, you know what? I wouldn't overthink it. I think you're doing great. And it's a pleasure to have you listen to the show.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. And Aaron from Romeoville called. We didn't have time to jump with Aaron, but he's in his 20s. He owns his own house.
Yep. Well, that's what Bennett, I think maybe at 7:50 after we talk to Amy Cochran, we should talk to our own Bennett Weeknight because he falls in that category.
He's on a mix now. I can't get him.
26-year-old that owns his own house already. So.
Time for...
The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
Erin Marin is the author of Stolen Innocence, Living for Today, An Unimaginable Act. She's an active activist against child sexual abuse, and she is today's most valuable person on the planet and also the creator of Erin's Law. Good morning, Erin.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. This is Beyond topical, this is something we all need to be more aware of and more cognizant of. And, you know, we had a horrific abuse situation where a little five-year-old boy was killed by his parents not far from town here this week. So, I mean, it hurts everybody's heart, but we got to do more.
Oh, exactly. I feel like the DCFS let that little boy down. It's very unfortunate what happened there, and that little boy should have never been returned to his home. It's a horrific story.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and we need to look harder at DCFS and make sure they have the funding and make sure they're doing the proper due diligence on the people that work there. And, you know, and the majority of people there obviously mean well and are working incredibly hard to do the right thing, but somebody missed it. Anyway, what is Aaron's Law?
Law requires personal body safety education in kindergarten to 12th grade, teaching kids the difference between safe, unsafe touch, safe, unsafe secrets, empowering them if they are being abused physically, sexually, to report it, that you will be believed. This isn't your fault. Identifying safe adults they can go to, because often abuse is happening in the home by family members, so there isn't that safe adult. So who are helping kids identify other people that they can go to report this? Because one in four girls and one in six boys will be sexually abused by the age of 18. And, you know, in Illinois, when I went after this back in, you know, a decade ago, I pointed out to legislators that we require in Illinois schools twice a year tornado drills, bus drills, fire drills. We now teach kids internet safety, bully intervention.
Great.
But we were doing nothing on this subject.
No, that's really great. That's tremendous. But, you know, you think, you tell your mom or dad, but a lot of these kids, for various reasons, can't do that, right?
Well, exactly. They just don't have the available people, safe people in their life to go to. Or kids that do tell, it's often, like I said, a perpetrator in the home. I can't tell you how many times they hear a mother siding with her husband over her children.
Do you get any pushback from schools and things when you're trying to go there and talk about a subject that makes people uncomfortable?
Sometimes I do. Most of the time I get schools definitely on board. Sometimes I do. I mean, there was a superintendent in one area in the suburbs of Chicago, I won't mention where, who tried to tell me that this, tell my friend Tom that this was not a problem in our community, in his community, that it's a problem in other parts of Illinois, but not his.
It's a problem in every community, and it doesn't have any economic scorecard. Rich people abuse, poor people abuse, and everybody in the middle as well is suspect. Until you find out who is involved. So you can't label this. You can't label it. These are the type of people that commit sexual abuse.
Exactly.
So,
and the crazy thing about that, 3 weeks later, a teacher in that man's school district was arrested for doing
this. Yeah,
two students.
Last word, Bridget.
Yeah, well, this is why talking about it is so important. Because, look, we used to not talk about kids with learning disabilities, and then we didn't ever talk about mental illness. Yeah. And when this stuff stays secret, that's how people who are perpetrators take advantage of it. And it doesn't matter
where
it is.
They want it to stay secret.
Of course they do. They want there to be a stigma, and so people feel the pressure. They don't even have to tell them not to say anything.
There is a texter who says, my name is Jesus. At the age of 14, this would have been very helpful to me. That's when I was abused by my stepfather, so there's a perfect example. Plug the book, Aaron.
I actually just recently got another book published, completely off topic than Aaron's Law. I felt, you know, for years I've been making legislators and people cry when they hear, you know, my story of overcoming abuse from 6 to, you know, 13 years old by two different perpetrators that I knew, that I finally needed to do something that made people laugh. And I had this cat of mine that turned into a internet viral celebrity last summer when my daughter was singing You Are My Sunshine to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
You probably saw it because it has been viewed and pops up everywhere on the internet still to this day, over Facebook and you name it. Well, I had over the years taken all these pictures of the cat with my children doing crazy things, from taking baths with them. Cats don't like baths. You know, pushing in the buggy, my daughter feeding her, feeding him in the high chair, you know, just the craziest things. And I put it all in the book. It's a picture book with captions. So the cat is talking to you. It's called Bailey No Ordinary Cat. He's got 154,000 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
So yeah, I follow Bailey.
I like that.
Yeah, I follow Bailey, Aaron, and because my parents, I have a sister who's a year younger than me, and then we had Killian, who lived to be 19, and Killian was a cat. And people don't give enough credit to the personality of kitties and how they interact and things. So the voice to the book is just, it's genius.
Well, listen, Aaron, whether you're making us sad or happy, it's all good. But thank you for the work you're doing. And again, it's Bailey, No Ordinary Cat. Aaron Marin, M-E-R-R-Y-N. Get it wherever books are sold. Get a couple copies. You're careless. You'll lose one of your cat. Give it to another cat. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
At 7:49, we continue. Bridget Gaynor's here, and well, we love Bridget. We're glad she's here. Winner of the best guest of the year,
I think, of 2017.
Yeah.
I'm riding that. This is kind of a long way in the past now. I got to do something else.
And then the 2018 best guest was the guy that punched the bear in the nose.
Right. Because nobody could follow you.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm competing against.
My daughter, Amy Cochran, I couldn't be more proud of her. She works with kids on the spectrum and kids and families dealing with autism as a BCBA. A board-certified behavioral analyst, and she joins us now. This is Autism Awareness Month. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Yeah, were you impressed that your father knew what BCBA stood for?
Yes. Yeah, it's a mouthful, so yes.
All right, first up, where do you work?
I work at By Your Side at some therapy services. We have 4 locations in Burridge, Morton Grove, Tinley Park, and Schaumburg.
Now, is this a fairly new development in the treatment treatments for autistic kids, this direct behavior analyst work that you and others do?
Applied behavior analysis probably became more mainstream in the 70s with Skinner. And I would say it's definitely been more widely used as a way to help kids with kids with autism within the past 20 or so years.
But it does seem to be growing in ABA therapy. Why is it beneficial? Why is it working? I mean, do we know that even?
So ABA looks at it's a scientific approach that looks at how behaviors work, how behaviors are affected by the environment, and just how learning takes place. And it's one of its main uses is for kids with autism, and we look to improve through using ABA principles, communication skills, socialization skills, some self-help skills. Learning readiness, I always say, be nice for a kid to know their math facts, but if they can't sit in the table or in a chair, they can't learn their math facts, right? So we kind of work on some of those learning readiness skills, as well as some replacement behaviors, as opposed to, those less socially valid behaviors that you might see from anybody.
Well, and I think the thing I've learned from you most about this is the patience that you have and the patience the people that do what you do professionally have, because you recognize that everybody learns differently, and that includes kids on the spectrum, and you bring them along as best you can in the time frame that they need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, Amy.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. You work with the kids, but then you also have to educate the parents, right, on how to apply these different learning differently skills?
Yeah, and that actually kind of goes into what I was just going to say, too, that ABA can work for anybody. So when I'm working with parents, I do try to hit that as much as possible, as far as, these concepts, these principles, these techniques can work for anybody, not just children on the spectrum. If they have other siblings, I tell them you can, or other children, I'm like, you can use this on your other children. You can use this on your husband, yourself, whoever.
Right. Learn the benefits of ABA and use it on your spouse.
Yes.
As an important part of Autism Awareness Month, obviously you want people to donate for research and volunteer for events and do all of that good stuff. But you and I were talking the other night about this, and there needs to be more people who do what you do to service the folks that need it. So what do you do if you want to be a behavior therapist, and who do you need to be to do that?
Yeah, With our certification board, the Behavior Analyst Certification Board, there are four different certification levels. First of all, to work in ABA and be a behavior therapist or aligned therapist, you don't need experience. I mean, obviously coming in with some experience is great, but you don't need experience to get your foot in the door. And, you know, there are many ABA companies. Obviously, I'm biased towards the one I'm at right now, but there are many ABA companies.
They'll be by your side.
Yes. And there are many ABA companies out there, and we're just, the field as a whole, just, you know, could really benefit and need, you know, people that are really passionate about working with kids with autism. So, like I said, you don't need any prior experience to start. A lot of companies will train you, including my own. We have a very awesome training schedule that we put our new hires through. It's about 4 weeks long. So
the commitment level,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the commitment on each level changes as you go higher, but I also feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you get in, you know, as someone who starts with the first level you described, you know, maybe it piques your interest to move on through the various certification stages, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We have a lot of our behavior therapists that are in school to get their own BCBA certification, or I've had a couple of new therapists start that have already told me that they're interested in possibly getting their BCBA certification. So, I mean, that was how it worked for me, too. You know, I think I had a heart for this thanks to the famous Mickey Cochran.
That's your uncle and my brother who has special needs.
Yes. But, you know, once I got in this or in the field of autism, you know, I just fell in love with these kids. And, had a really great mentor at the time who was going to get her own BCBA certification and told me about it. And yeah, I think that's how a lot of people actually get into the field and move up, is, you know, having experience, personal connection, just being, you know, touched by these kids because they're really awesome, amazing kids. And
yeah, and you got to love it. You got to love it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Sandberg the last word. Do you think that's wise of me, Em? Go ahead, Sandberg.
So, he'll be nice to me.
I will be very nice to Amy. Do you have an example of like one kid that you started working with where this really changed how their daily life was affected by using these methods?
Yeah, and I know you can't say their names.
I know there's a million. But is there like?
Yeah. There's a lot of good examples. It's a good question.
Because I know you work with every single day a bunch of them. But if there's, you know, for somebody who doesn't deal with a ton of autistic kids, like now we started using this method and they are able to
watch TV with
their family, or, you know, like, or
there's a little boy she started working with, I think almost 10 years ago. Who is, you saw him recently, he's almost 18 now. And yeah. I feel like just knowing the stories of him and the work you two did together really changed his life.
Yeah, I mean, he was, I didn't do formal ABA therapy with him. I mean, I was going through school at the time and learning a lot of things, so I definitely did apply some ABA principles. But when I first started, he didn't say hi to anybody. And then like a year or so in, he would say, he started saying hi to people. So I think he was definitely, like, besides Uncle Mickey, he is one of my
inspirations.
Thank you. Inspiration to continue on in this field. I mean, I guess I could tell you, you know, some things that I get more excited about when my kids learn, like communication strategies. Oh, if I ask you for help instead of pitching a fit, you're going to help me, you know? So, you know, I never imagined, right, that I would want to do a touchdown dance when a kid puts like a three-sentence three-word sentence together, right? You know, I've helped train some kids to use the potty. And again, it's like, I kind of just take that for granted. But right. when I trained the first kiddo I helped train to use the bathroom, I think he was five, like, it was awesome. And so...
That's how you know you love it.
Yeah.
When you talk about potty training a kid, and she says it was awesome. And I remember when you called me, it was 2 or 3 weeks of working with this kid specifically and learning how to use the bathroom and how thrilled you were. So anyway, you have the right job, my daughter. I do believe that.
Thank you.
And Autism Awareness Month in April. We're a little late this month talking about it, but everybody should continue to focus on doing what they can. And whether you're blessed with kids who have absolutely no issues because they're so, so fine and perfect. Or you have kids that got a little speed bump here and there. Here's the bulletin. Every kid's got a speed bump, just like every adult. Mm-hmm. Supporting kids and families who deal with autism is not just a generous thing to do. It's a smart thing to do. So I hope everybody will. Thank you for being on, Amy Cochran. I know you have other shows to do now.
Thank you. All right. Have a good morning.
Love you. See you, bye. That's my daughter, Amy. Obviously the good part.
Yes.
Right?
And what she doesn't hear is you talk about her all the time. And everybody we have had in this month that you're talking about the autism and whatever, you know her title and where she worked. Like, I know you.
I'm just blown away by because I don't have it. I don't have that kind of patience. And I'm just blown away by the ability to take a child with those kind of needs and work with them so closely and to be able to stay on task and focus. And that's what she was preaching about, this ABA therapy, because that's what science has now determined is the best way to break through with kids dealing with autism.
There's an incredible program at the Ag School out in Mount Greenwood, and they my cousin actually runs it, and they bring in horses, and they, you know, there's all incredibly creative things that people can do. And I just think, you know, my son is almost 17, and when he was born, it was kind of when they autism really started to be first widely diagnosed, and it was especially more focused in boys. And so I just remember the panic that you have as a parent thinking, what if this thing is happening and I don't know what to do about it?
Sure.
And the idea that you would then meet someone who's like, no, I get it. It's not great, but I have a plan and I'm going to walk through this with you.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this off the air. The cool thing is you meet people who have kids with special needs, whatever those special needs are, like my brother. You get more out of them, and they teach you more than you'll ever learn from all the, quote, normal people in your life.
Right.
By the way, nobody's normal. news is coming up on 720 WGN. Texter 815, Steve, my daughter just got hired as an ABA therapist in school to be an occupational therapy assistant. I'm a special ed director and a proud mom. 312, great job, Amy. We need more Amy Cochrans in this world. I would second that. And thanks for your text. Text 312-981-7020 about anything. We'll come back and get Dean on the radio, I believe, for a couple of minutes. More with Bridget Gaynor as well. And your news next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
Dean is doing a TV thing right now, but we're hoping to have him by 8:25 to say stupid things with me on Moron Entertainment.
Just to fill people in, the only entertainment story you need to know is Taylor Swift dropped a new song called Me with Brandon Urie.
Here's the Taylor Swift story. I told you I'd tell you a Taylor Swift story. So a friend of mine was a big deal in country music, and I was in Nashville, so we're going to have dinner. And it's like a Tuesday night, and this is probably right around the time I was fired here in 2010, which is why I was in Nashville. I was probably looking for a job. And Nashville is surprisingly quiet on a weeknight. There's like a strip on the river where everything happens, but every restaurant has a lunch situation where somebody's playing music hoping to get discovered. But downtown Nashville on a weeknight, it's like, you know, they all go to bed. So there on the corner is a attractive young lady, and she's waiting for, you know, a car or whatever to pick her up. Well, it's Taylor Swift. So Brian, the guy I was with, knew her, went up, talked to Taylor Swift, and she couldn't have been nicer and couldn't have been more normal. So the reason I tell you the story is because we all have brushes with famous people at different times. Rarely are the super famous people the jackasses. Mm-hmm. It's usually the support people. In a lot of cases, they're just protecting him. But I know how much you like Taylor Swift, and I'm here to tell you that in my brief encounter with her, she was delightful.
That makes me very happy. I love Taylor.
She was the first concert for my older daughter, Lillian. And I think she's a great role model. She writes her own
songs.
She seems
to be.
She's a super hard worker. I mean, clearly, she's adulting because she owns her own house.
Yep.
So we don't have to worry about her.
Hey, good segue. Movie.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what impressed me, though, about her last night? She did a driving tour of Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
And she stopped at a stop sign, looked both ways. She said, I always check, look left, look right, look left, and then pulled out into the intersection.
I can tell you right now, if Taylor Swift ran down a tourist, that wouldn't be good for her career.
No, I don't think so.
It's probably good that she looks both ways. Bennett Wakenight's here. We love Bennett. And Bennett is, well, he's one of our more valued employees because we got some real chumps here. I'm not going to lie to you. But Bennett, you work on what you?
The opening bell and the Wintrust business lunch.
Right. And Bennett's impressive to us, especially Dave and I, because we own and operate our own millennials. And they're doing fine, by the way. They're all good kids.
Yes.
As are Mary's kids. But Bennett, at 25 years old, bought his own house.
26.
I'd say 25. It sounds more 25. Impressive. But you have your own house. And, you know, we were talking last hour about this, about kids renting as opposed to buying and all that. And you actually are part of the old business model.
Yeah, I attribute a lot of that to what my dad has bestowed upon me in his 30 plus years in real estate.
Which is what? Get out?
Well, you know, yeah, pretty much. In a roundabout way. But
their,
you know,
move to a one bedroom apartment wasn't a signal. That was
Yeah. He said, well, that's a stupid idea.
We don't even
this.
Have a couch.
Right, right. So, but no, he drilled it into us early, you know, the value of homeownership and, you know, realizing that that was an important thing that you would want to try to strive for if it was right for you. And by the time that I was looking to live on my own and finding a place and realizing that one bedrooms were unrealistically priced, he said, just spend a little more, save a little more here now, do a little bit more strategy and go buy something. So,
well, it's very impressive because it's not happening a lot for people your age, as you well know. I was 26, I think, when I bought my first house. And I had no idea what I was doing. I just know they handed me a stack of papers and I kept signing stuff. I mean, it could have said anything. So it's an intimidating process.
It is. It was not too different from getting handed a bunch of papers and signing them blindly. But, you know, a little bit more reading, a little bit more research. But
well, with your dad as a real estate agent.
Yeah,
that, right?
that was a big help in figuring out the approach, you know, what to look for, one bedroom, two bedroom, or, you know, that sort of stuff. So I realize that not a lot of people have that kind of support team to say, hey, here's a 30 plus year experience advisor at your beck and will, you know? So that was.
But your strategy leading up to that, though, is you lived with other people.
Right.
In a place that didn't cost you a lot of money.
Save money?
Yeah, I lived with four roommates, you know, for 3 years prior to that.
Right.
And they were good people, but it was time for me to live on my own.
But they would rotate in and out. They would graduate from college and new people would come in. They weren't like your best friends or anything like that. You cook all your own food. You don't go out to dinner. Like he
kills his own food. He cooks and kills. He goes out with a musket.
Right.
Amy Cochran did the same thing. She moved out of an apartment, moved in with some friends, saved money for a year, and she just bought her first house. She's a couple years older than you. But I respect that kind of discipline because I never had it.
Yeah, it really is. It really just comes down to discipline. So that's one of the big things.
Let me get Dean Richards in here. Dean, we're just complimenting Bennett Wakenight on buying his own house at 26 years old.
Oh, thanks, Dean
Richards. That's Dean Richards live from Channel 9.
Bennett used to be Dean Richards' producer.
I was.
Before he became the head of business.
Clearly he heard that I was on, so.
Yeah. We'll check back in with Dean. We've got some bad information there. All right, if I turn this on again and he's not there. Oh,
Dean? Heads are going to roll.
Oh, Dean? All right, so we got a technical problem we need to work on. So anyway, we are impressed, and we just thought you're a good inspiration for, you know.
Can I ask you one personal question that comes up a lot? Did you or did you not have student loans?
I did not, which was a big, big plus, because right out of college, I was in sales, which was a big help to, you know, me leading down this road. And so I was immediately able to start saving, start accumulating, and that really kick-started me into the process.
Yeah, that's helpful, because I know student loans is David Hochberg, you know, sent me a message. That's what's killing
me. That's the key right there. Yeah. That's why most of these kids cannot buy anything. Yeah. Student loans.
Look, simple math. I went to U of I, obviously, many years ago, 25 years ago. It was $7,000 a year. So that was room and board and tuition.
Right.
So I was a waitress at the Martinique and then had a job at school and you could pay for it. And now U of I is $35,000 a year. So how does someone at 18...
35 in-state, right?
In-state, yeah. So my son's a junior and we're looking at these schools and some of them are $50,000 just for tuition. You know, so there's no kid that can do that on their own, which is why, like, you know, investments in city colleges and doing that for the first 2 years and doing other things, that it's something people are going to need to look at more.
We were talking to a couple guys yesterday who are tied to the show, who have two kids in college, both, I think were, no, a son and a daughter. And the school that one is in and the other is going to, separate schools, $75,000.
Yeah.
So it's $300,000 for a four-year education.
Right.
And when you get out of school, the fields that they've chosen, one has a major, the other doesn't know what they want to do. They'll be lucky if they get out and get a job in 4 years that pays them $75,000. Yeah. And that's just the beginning of paying off the debt. So it's an upside-down system. And that's the other thing that came up yesterday is... Elizabeth Warren wanting to pay off everybody's student loan. No. But let's go after the colleges. Let's go after the private universities who are getting tax breaks through the roof, who continue to jack up tuitions and got us into this position.
Well, look, this is the mortgage crisis. Exactly the same thing all over again. Because the people who are getting the access to the money, you know, the selling the house or the selling the at the college, they have no risk of whether or not this person pays back the loan. And so you want to say to someone, look, on the one hand, it's the fault of the borrower. You can't walk into a car lot and say, you know, do I want a Ford or do I want a Bentley? I think I'm going to go with a Bentley. Like, there's
and maybe I'll pay it back.
And maybe I'll pay it back or maybe I'll just feel bad about myself and then I won't.
Right.
Like, you have to limit what you're going to pay for. On the other hand, everyone's got to be in this together. If you don't pay back, if your student body doesn't pay back your loans, then you got to figure out some way for there to be risk shared on all sides.
Well,
looking at that mortgage crisis 2.0.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the biggest bubble there is in the country right now. It's credit cards are second. So, and credit cards are a mess. Anyway, Bennett, you're the only hope for the future.
Thanks. I'll do my best.
Don't mess it up. We're relying on you.
823. Texter says, my granddaughter starts at Western Illinois University this August. It'll cost about $5,000 each from her mother and father. That's the news we got shared with us this week. And it's just tons of texts over and over again about the cost of school. Dean Richards joins us from the WGN newsroom. Dean, are you with us?
I am here.
Okay, I don't know what we had a little technical problem.
Yeah, we've never done this before, so.
It's Moron Entertainment. Bridget Gaynor is here, and frankly, she risks her reputation being a part of this segment.
It's only one of the ways I'm risking my reputation.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
I had a slot early in the morning for it, so I figured I'd check in.
Yeah, actually, it's a very interesting conversation on it. I'm suggesting that Lori Loughlin should pay everyone student loans.
What do you think?
Yeah, why not? She could do like Fuller House 2.0 and then Fuller House 7.
Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin should pay off everyone's student loans.
You know, my favorite part of that story is that she and her husband, Massimo, are just really hurt that people think they're cheaters. Well, what else? What category are we going to put you in? Of course we think you're cheaters because...
You cheated.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the multiple steps to the cheating.
Yes.
So first it's like you cheat on the test. Then you like dress up and take pictures of a sport. Okay, that's weird. Then you pay the person through the business as if they're a vendor for doing something else. And you want to say, that's actually a crime.
Yeah.
You know, but then you're in this bubble of such entitlement that you're like, no, it's okay. But it's, just to make it local, there are people that I think we probably all know who are like, yeah, I'm renting an apartment in another part of the city to get my kid into selective enrollment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you want to say, you know, that's a crime.
Yep.
And then when you mail things from that apartment, that's mail fraud. People go to jail for that. And I think the idea is like, well, no, but I'm being a parent. I'm doing it for my kid.
Nah, not how it works.
And you're like, or you're doing it for yourself.
Right.
And your kid is the beneficiary. Right. But, you know, that to me is, you know, first of all, you're denying someone else who deserves it.
Well, and
secondly,
Dean,
you're committing a crime.
Dean, have you had that conversation like at a summer barbecue or a party, whatever, where somebody comes up and goes, you wouldn't believe what I'm doing? Like, they think it's a cool story.
Yeah.
You know, people like to get away with stuff.
And you go, really? Because that's taking stuff from other people. We live in a society, you know, Donald Trump's favorite word, fairness.
Yeah.
He's never been fair, but fairness. But the fairness is that we're all in a civilized society where we do the right thing or try to, as opposed to doing the wrong thing.
And also what you want to say is Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman's kids, in addition to the kids of people who live in a really nice part of Chicago, it's all going to work out. The whole universe is aligned for them to be successful.
Yeah.
So you don't need to take extra from somebody else to make it even more likely that they're going to work
out. It's great karma, though, right, Dean, that she lost a $2 million job that she was doing before
the kid.
Mom shoved her into school.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad about all of that. The collateral damage.
Yeah.
Of the whole thing. Really, I feel worse for people who weren't able to get into those schools.
Oh, yes.
Because of all the entitlement, whether it's Lori Loughlin or anybody else who
or the big
exercises
donations.
Some yeah. influence somehow, to do it. But we'll all be fine. I was the first one in my family to complete college. I got no help from anybody with that. I'm not bragging about it, but I mean, you can get through all this without all the influence and the help.
Yeah, life tends to work out if you work at life.
That's why I'm so scarred the way I am now. That made me the moron I am today.
I gotta tell you, the flinch you have on TV is barely noticeable.
Dean, let's talk Taylor.
Swift?
Yeah.
What's a lot of Taylor?
The biggest entertainment story today.
I wouldn't go that far. I think the Avengers might. I think the Avengers might trump them a little bit, which is what I've been stumped.
Is Taylor Swift in the Avengers? Is she one of the superheroes?
She could be if she wanted to.
I mean, I think that was a miss there.
It's a new character called Blondie Girl.
Taylor Swift's new song dropped, as we say, Dean, and the kids say
yes
last night,
midnight,
and Samber could not be happier.
Here we go.
So what's the deal? What is me. That the news that the song dropped?
Yeah, me.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, this is big.
Dean, it is a spiffy video. And spiffy is a word the kids say a lot.
It's very artistic.
In
very
1940.
Yeah. It's keen.
It's a great
keen.
Song.
It's really keen.
It's going to be like the number one downloaded today. But if you want to talk Avengers, I happen to know Super Joe is going to see Avengers this weekend.
Did you get tickets?
I did. And every time you and Dean have been talking about it, I've been listening to something else in the booth.
No. I promise. I always promise spoiler-free when I do it. I was at the AMC River East Theater last night as people were going into the very first screening at 5 o'clock last night to see it. And then when they came out, I talked with them. Promise, this is all spoiler-free. Do we have that sound to play of the fans? I gave it a Dean's List A. I think it's magnificent.
Oh, my God.
It was worth it. It was worth it. Although I have a splitting headache, but still worth it.
It was more than I could have ever hoped it could be. I mean, to have the level of expectation set by so many people affected for over 10 years just in the cinematic universe and to not only meet that, but then to exceed it and to do it in a way that I don't think anyone saw possible. It was just the greatest experience.
Me and my buddy Jake, we drove from Cleveland, Ohio, actually. It was fantastic. It actually did a great job of wrapping up the last 11 years.
I went through the trouble of ranking every movie as I went along watching every movie, and this one quickly jumped to number one.
My son and I, we kind of called the ending a little bit. We weren't sure, but we both picked...
That would be a spoiler.
And we
that
also...
would be a spoiler. That would be a spoiler.
Oh.
She gave a spoiler. She blurted out a big spoiler. Well, people are going into other theaters.
I do like, though. I like your spoiler editing sounds. That's very strong. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Yeah.
Kind of my favorite part of that whole thing, my cameraman who was with me, Vince, is a huge Avengers fan. He has not seen the movie yet. And he's, with me while we're... videotaping this woman, and she blurts out one of the biggest spoilers of the whole movie, and he almost had a heart attack when she spoiled it for him.
So. I wouldn't have had a heart attack. I would have ended up in jail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joe, I don't want to ruin it for you, but Pat Sajak is a new one of the Avengers. Yeah, he's Wheel Man.
Who knew they were so good at singing and dancing?
I asked Super Joe if he was concerned about having to go to the bathroom during the movie, and he said no, he is not concerned about that.
I think it's very manageable. Take care of business before you go in. You'll be just fine.
Anything else happening this weekend other than you being on the radio?
I'm going to be talking with Lin-Manuel Miranda today.
Nice.
He's, they're just opening up that Hamilton exhibition over in Northerly Island today.
Yeah, and they would like people to attend.
They would like people to spend money to attend and come and see it. It's going to be open for a while. So I'm going to talk with him today, and we're going to play that back on my little Sunday morning radio show.
Bridget, you should add that to your schedule because you don't have that much going on.
I don't have that much. I have a slot there, too.
12:15 to 12:18.
And also, happy Greek Easter weekend and Eastern Orthodox Easter to everybody. I noticed that Walgreens has got all their Easter candy 50% off, which is the reason why Greeks and other Eastern Orthodox, we have our Easter a week later, so we get the Easter candy.
Is that the flaming Easter candy?
That's the flaming Easter candy.
Yeah. Flaming hot eggs.
You set your bunny on fire.
And again,
Bunny only.
And again, we want to congratulate our friend Lourdes Duarte. Yesterday, I was at the luncheon when she won the Center for Journalism Integrity and Excellence Award, a distinguished alumni from DePaul Award. And if you look on the Channel 9 website, you'll see a group picture of everybody that was at the table, except for me, because I took the picture.
You're a doer that way. You stepped up.
Yeah, I stepped up. That was it.
You know, we have a new microphone, Steve, that filters out all the extraneous noise around me here in the WGN newsroom. You didn't hear Anna Balaval one time. I know she was on your show earlier, but you didn't hear her one time in our segment today, did you?
I don't know that I like the piped-in new microphone. I like the old one.
You like the old one where you hear her?
When we went to you first and you weren't there, we could hear the whole room. But we couldn't hear you. Oh, now we got you.
I'm sorry. Apparently, she needs something.
Are you calling me in for dinner? Dean, come to dinner.
All right, I'll hear you Sunday.
See ya.
That's Dean. We're back with the headlines next.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh, C is for cookie. That's good enough for me.
All right, our friends at Ath Electronics do something on the weekends, which is pretty great. Free cookies. And the proud proprietor of the cookie is here. Now, we made this mistake earlier because we questioned how you could go. I think Mary Vandeveld, you and Steve Grzanich on separate times have both gone to Apt, and you go, where's the cookies? But this is Saturdays and Sundays, yes?
Saturdays and Sundays.
So I'm assuming you guys went on a weekday.
Yes, I went on a Monday.
Okay, so that's probably there's the grievous error that you made.
Yeah, I think I did, too. I don't remember, actually, what day I was there. Thought it was a weekend.
Well, listen, if it was a weekend,
you would have smelled the cookies, because you can't not walk in there and not smell the cookies. Yeah. Over the smell of amazing, beautiful new appliances, which is an equally great smell.
It is a great smell.
It is.
As someone who needs a new dryer, it's going to, yes.
Right. Really?
Oh my gosh.
You should have brought dryers. That would have been fantastic.
Leslie Habgen.
Even better.
Habgen.
Leslie Habgen's here. And Leslie, how did you get in the cookie business?
It was actually through my kids. I was baking cookies for teachers at the schools, and the teachers just loved them. So, and one of my son's teachers kind of encouraged me to try to sell them somewhere. So,
How did Apt find you?
I found Apt. I knew that they were baking cookies on the weekends, and I knew I had a
Oh, they were already had cookies.
They've had cookies inferior on the weekends.
Cookies.
Well, I can't say that.
Oh, I can.
Because everybody has their own taste. But I did bring them. It was last September, I think. And I brought them cookies, and she tried them, and they did a taste test with some of their customers and their employees. And
people are bananas for them.
And they won out. So.
And what's funny is, you see, it's a great test of human character, because you see people who have no shame, and they'll gladly come back for three or four or five or
yes,
six.
Yes, absolutely.
But the ones that entertain me are the ones that come back and go, oh, I've got to get one for my son. my mom's on the other side of the store. Let me just get one more.
It's like when Mary's going to get the Taylor Swift autograph for her daughter.
Exactly. How many cookies do you go through in a weekend?
About 3,800 every weekend.
Whoa.
Wow.
And then,
holy cow,
when they have their customer appreciation weekends, I deliver 17,000 cookies for that weekend.
What?
Yeah.
Do you live, like, is your house a commercial kitchen? How does that work? Oh,
actually,
my Lord.
It is.
Well, you must have had to put in the big ovens then, right?
Well, I don't bake them. They are baked in the store, so I deliver frozen dough to them.
Oh, and so you're bringing the dough.
I'm bringing
Well, how do you
dough.
Know they're not going to screw it up?
It's a cookie. I can't screw up a cookie.
No, not you. Them.
Well, there's instructions. If you follow instructions, you can execute frozen dough.
I'm on the eating end. Right. I can't speak to the producing end.
Yeah. I didn't realize. I thought you were the one doing the baking. That would be a position I could have. I would love to bake those cookies at Apt on the weekends, being surrounded by all the appliances, getting to use a good oven.
That's like a dream for you.
I know. They would let you do that.
Yeah, I would. That's right up my...
You could use a different oven every week, too.
I know. Gosh.
17,000 cookies in one weekend.
For their customer appreciation weekend.
So you're making all this dough.
I am, by hand.
Wow. Good Lord, woman.
Small batches. That's what makes it so good.
So do you put it, like, in the cookie shape...
and just give it to them, or they have to make it in the cookie shape?
I should go. I brought cookies that I sell at Sunset Foods, and it's the same cookie, but they're preformed one-ounce balls. So we scoop them in one-ounce balls.
And then the person just has to put them on a cookie sheet. Absolutely. And put it in the oven for 12 minutes? Or
Yep, 12 to 15 minutes, depending on your oven.
Not your first cookie.
I know what I'm talking about. I don't just always buy things from the Jewel and then like put it on my own plate. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've actually cooked cookies.
See?
And when did this go from mom, you should do this, to a business? How long have you been doing it?
I've been baking these cookies for about 10 years or so.
So commercially in 10 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like the business is booming.
It's okay. It's enough to keep me busy.
I'd say.
I was doing trade shows for a pharmaceutical company. They would send me wherever they wanted me to go, and I'd bring 3,000 cookies or 4,500 cookies or 1,100 cookies.
Okay, so here's the ultimate question. Do you like cookies anymore, or are you cookied out personally?
You see my waistline.
You look fabulous. Stop it. You look great.
I know what you're saying, though. I do not want a cookie from somebody that doesn't eat cookies.
It's a trust issue.
Yeah, like you need to enjoy the food you're
But by the same token, yeah. I think if I worked at McDonald's, I wouldn't want a hamburger when I went home. Yes, no?
That is true.
No, but people need to love the thing they're doing, because then you forget. I'll not to completely change the subject, but we went to Easter at my mom's on Sunday, obviously. Yeah. So, you know, my dad passes away about 5 weeks ago, and you have these ups and downs during the time. But we go to make Bloody Marys, and my mom doesn't really drink, and it's V8 and celery seeds. And I was like, oh, man.
So close.
Like, one more example of why this is so bad. I'm like, you can't make a Bloody Mary with V8 because you're not being healthy.
Celery seeds. That's awesome.
And celery seeds were also a fail. Yeah.
Imagine if you had the cookies to wash down that Bloody Mary.
You know what? This is the whole thing. Right. But you love cookies, and that's why they're amazing.
I do love cookies. I do.
Yeah.
Now, have you been pushed into trying to make the mistake of branching out to make oatmeal molasses and all these other cookies?
I sell oatmeal cookies, oatmeal raisin cookies, and snickerdoodles at Sunset Foods.
Now, so we have had the oatmeal, I think, because the Midwestern Veterans Closet, am I saying the right? When they came in studio a couple years ago, they brought in the oatmeal cookies. I did not know at the time that Leslie was behind the cookies. Oh, I just remember we got the cookies.
Yeah, so you're like the Jeff Bezos of cookies.
I'm not sure I could say that.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's just booming.
It sounds like it's booming.
Yeah. And the app people, I hope you've had a good experience with them, because the app people, it's just a great family. And
it is
a great business.
It is a great business. It's a great family. They have a fantastic model. They are all about customer service. They're fantastic.
There was, I don't think I'm not supposed to say this because it amused me, but it tells you what a factory they've been able to create and take care of. Somebody had a defective car they were bringing in. Not that it's a garage, but they were near there. They had to pull off the road, and there was something wrong with the car, and Apt does thousands of cars a year where they put in audio systems.
Mm-hmm.
They have people in a garage that know stuff about cars. One of the folks from Apt showed me a video, and the video was of four cars on fire, because while he went in to check on somebody could come out and take a look at his car, the car caught fire and caught three other Apt cars on fire right there. Within an hour, maybe an hour and a half, the entire parking lot was cleared of any debris or cars, and they had cleaned everything up, and they just were right back in, no problem. Never affected business.
That's crazy.
The stuff they do there is amazing. I'm really blown away by the fact. I used to tell the Apt brothers, I think I told you this, I told Mr. Apt, I go, dude, you're killing it. Here, you got to open more stores. and he just go, I think we got it.
Yeah.
I think we got it.
Thanks anyway.
People come in from all over the Midwest to get there, and they'll deliver anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
So how's that for a free commercial? But, I like those guys.
Yeah, they're coming to my house on Tuesday for my oven to do the built-in.
Oh, I thought it was a social call with your love for appliances.
I know. I was like, usually leave them to do their work and go in another room. But when these guys came to assess what they're going to build around the oven, because it's a wall oven and it needs a little bit of cabinetry, I just stood there and watched them, because they were really nice guys. And I like watching them. They know exactly what they're doing. And
it was just like,
is this going to get awkward?
I was going to say, it sounds like a fantasy.
Slightly uncomfortable.
It sounds like a fantasy about a guy in a tool belt.
I mean, it is morning.
There was two of them, though, and they assured me they were two of them.
Even better. This is like the story where you're like, no, it's not sexual. I was seventh grade, and I was dressed as a twin outfit as my same friend in a miniskirt and a hair bow. Yeah.
Story from last week.
Exactly.
Can't understand why Dad would have had a problem with that.
What is wrong? Oh, there's both of you dressed the same. Totally get it. That is not weird at all.
And there's no creepy.
One's going down the wrong
there's
road with
no
that.
No creepy guys out there would have taken that the
so
wrong
two
way.
Two guys in your house who are really good at what they do. I mean, I get it.
They're coming back on Tuesday. Every day that I see an app truck driving down the street, and I'm not kidding, every day, or when I see it in my neighborhood, I want to follow it or go in and see what they are getting.
You clearly have
every
a problem.
Single, I know. I send you guys pictures of the app trucks. I'm like, wonder what they're getting. What is that?
Actually, the entire app family has got they've got a restraining order on you. I didn't know how to tell you.
Do you pull over and let them, if they're behind you, let them get around you?
Like an ambulance?
Yeah. What I really want to see is that black stainless steel in somebody's house. I want anyone who's gotten those new black stainless steel appliances in their house.
Best.
I want to see, because I think
I spent most of last night just thinking about that.
Yeah, me too.
Twins. Thanks to everybody at Apton. You don't need the plug, but you want to plug the business?
They're amazing.
What is your business?
Okay, so my label is Aunt Winnie's Kitchen, or Aunt Winnie's Frozen Cookie Dough.
Okay.
It's found at Sunset Foods and Poetta's Italian Grocery Store Highwood.
Yeah. God, they've got good stuff there.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, you're in good company.
Their lasagna is amazing. Yeah.
And why Aunt Winnie?
I grew up with the name Winnie.
Oh, okay.
My dad nicknamed me Winnie. My whole family calls me Winnie.
Winnie, not Linny.
Winnie.
W-I?
Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that Winnie.
Got it.
So in the frozen section, and it's preformed 1-ounce balls that you take home and put in your own oven, and you have homemade cookies, and you can pass them off on your own, because you did bake them.
No, may I just say these are delicious, and I never eat on the show.
Dave, is
you had
a cookie?
Yeah.
He doesn't eat cookies.
I don't eat cookies. This is great.
Welcome to the dark side.
I convert people to cookies all the time.
I just realized.
Is this like a notch in your belt now? You can leave and put. Yeah.
Dave will come in Monday.
Needs a cookie. No one gave him a cookie in the
newsroom. Well, he knows where the studio is.
I'm sitting here waiting to do the tease.
Yeah, Dave, Steve and I are like, come on, we want to go get a cookie.
Do the tease.
All right, thank you.
Cookies. We're starving.
I'll bring you some.
Thank you, Aunt Winnie.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
We'll come back in a moment. And Bridget Gaynor, you were here on a historic day. Dave Ennett had a cookie.
There you go.
But
I just started half an hour on the treadmill.
Well, we have to ask Dr. Ian K. Smith now what I do, because this is an hour before. It's before my...
Your eating period?
My feeding period. My feeding window.
Oh, are you in the 8-hour? Is that what you do? 8 hours
of eating? Intermittent fasting.
Sort of starting to do it.
So you just dial your fasting back. You cut
it's
an hour
Friday
off
Friday night.
Your eating
now window. He's going to have to stop eating at 6 p.m.
Stuff break.
Well, no, I go the other way.
And
I
then
start
have,
at 10.
We have a whole separate issue, too, where I've been making cookies for this show for 4 years, and Dave Enna has never eaten one of my cookies, but he ate one of Leslie's.
So. I would be bitter if I were you.
I got a problem.
I think it's a slap across
the face. I guess you'll
just
have to bring some more.
I'll have to say Dave ate my kale cake. Yeah, but he
did.
He's not eating one of my cookies.
Do you think it's a personal thing? Like,
do
you think it's about you?
Very personal.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
I just had a cookie, and I just want to apologize. I was a little hangry earlier, but
you frightened
fine.
All of us.
I'm better now.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, total pleasure to be here.
Will you come play again?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend.
I will.
Don't you tell me to have a great weekend. You have a great
I'll do
weekend.
Whatever I want. Yeah.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dean, I'd like you to say hi to Ian Holzhauer. It's a new feature we're doing here, Dean. It's Brothers of Famous People.
I love this idea of not having the person who was in the news, but
no.
A sibling of theirs.
So is James older or younger?
He's a year and a half younger than me.
Okay, so how annoying was he growing up?
When you've lived with somebody who's got this kind of talent your whole life, you're just used to it.
So even at dinner, he'd answer every question and he'd dominate conversations.
You know, it's kind of interesting because most people who are this smart, they're sort of into these highbrow things, opera, things like that. My brother, he calls himself a connoisseur of low culture. So he knew pretty much every word for the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Austria!
G'day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Well, it's great to meet you, and I'm glad you gave us some perspective on him, because obviously you don't know much from just seeing him on the show, and you sound like a great brother. Sounds like you got a great family.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Ian Holzhauer, his brother, James, has been on Jeopardy now for 4 or 5 years. Nobody can beat him. He's won a million. Was a million two as of this morning?
Yes.
And continues to win. We don't know how long the winning continues. The show is taped several weeks in advance. As far as we know, he's back in Vegas working on his gambling. But we don't know when the winning ends. So that's on podcast, yeah?
It is on podcast, yep.
Okay, so go to WGNradio.com or the WGN app. It's funny you mentioned...
I suggest the app. The app is amazing.
And well done by you. You know, it's funny that I mentioned great families, because what do I say about the most family all the time?
They're the greatest.
It's a great family.
Yeah.
Just a great family. They have this fraud running that they all seem to like each other. But, I mean, we're all buying it.
Yeah. And the most family, headed by Dr. Kevin Most, who we talk to every Monday at 6:40 a.m.,
yeah, the patriarch. He's in his 70s now. I don't know if you know that. He's really taking care of himself.
Just turned 80.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. That's the voice of Brad Most. Brad and Ann Most are here, and a special guest who we'll introduce in just a second. Brad, how are you?
I am doing beautifully. Thank you.
Looking for something to keep yourself occupied?
I've got plenty of time. I can come in here. Do you guys need an intern? Are there internships?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Dave? and the good news is no money.
That's perfect.
Do you remember when Brad stepped into a celebrity game show for us when we were on a remote?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah. But sure. You don't know what Brad has done for the show lately. Brad, because of his years and years and years as an advertising big shot, knows everybody in, for instance, the logo game. And he found someone to do a Moron Entertainment logo.
The great Brian Colbert.
Oh, I did.
What's his name? This.
Brian Colbert.
That was very nice.
Brian Colbert.
That was very nice of him.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
We're still figuring out what we're going to do with it, but I have an idea.
Perfect.
Did I talk to you about this before you left town?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like it.
All right, Ann, so I'd like you to tell me, before we say hi to Myra, how did you guys first find out about CCA and get involved?
So I was working at...
Microphone.
Oops. Thanks.
There we go. Sorry.
I was working at Leo Burnett, and a friend of mine was involved with CCA and had produced a video, and he kind of lured us into a conference room for free lunch one day, and so we thought we were going to see, you know, like a Sundance video, and it turned out to be a video about CCA, and the moment I saw it, I just knew I had to get involved.
Yeah, you're just taken by it.
Yeah.
And Miss Myra, as her students call her, and her co-workers is here, the lovely Myra Sampson, who has founded CCA Academy, how many years ago?
41 now.
41?
Yes.
You were 4 when you started. God bless you for everything you've done so far and everything you continue to do. Do you have any idea how many kids you've graduated?
Oh, about 12 to 1300.
That's a
great
story.
Started out with 50 students, and our graduation classes were 8 students. Now our average is about 60.
And what do we know? We know that kids need a path to maximize their lives, not a path to minimize their lives, and you provide that.
Yes. You know, they need to belong. They need a sense of loving. They need a sense of discipline. And they need to be educated.
Brad and Ann can speak to this, too, but one of the great things each year is there's a benefit coming up we'll tell you about in a second. Is when your graduates, a lot of which are now teachers for you, come back and tell stories about what they were doing before Miss Myra came down the block and grabbed them by the ear and said, "You're going back to school." Because that discipline piece is love.
It is. It is. And structure. They just need that. All young people need that in their lives.
Now, the neighborhood you're in, how would it be classified?
North Lawndale, I think it is
troubled?
One of the two highest crime areas.
All right, so how are you a safe island? Is it because of the respect you have from, you know, gangbangers and stuff, because they know what you're doing there?
Well, you know, it is, and you wouldn't know it by media, but a close-knit community, and people look out after one another, and if you're doing good in the community, people look out for you. And so we've been blessed. Our students are, of course, in the streets, and they have their troubles. I think we've had about 5 students shot this year.
And these are kids just trying to get home, get school, or yes, whatever.
Yes, or on the weekends.
Yeah, they're not gangbanging. They're just trying to live their life.
So we've had, you know, quite a bit of that. So, I mean, we are indirectly affected each year. We have students that are recent graduates or students that are at CCA that are killed, which is really a lot of trauma.
Yeah, it's
for
heartbreaking.
Everybody. So, but We've never had any staff that were hurt, and people know our work in the community.
Yeah, because the thing that is so inspiring, I think, about what you do is there's a lot of well-meaning folks who listen to this show every day. They go, well, I'd like to help. The violence on the West Side, I don't know what to do. Because, gosh, they're all shooting at each other. That couldn't be more of a generalization. It couldn't be more wrong. Because what you said about the folks at Lawndale, 99% of the neighborhood are good, hardworking folks that want the same thing. Any neighborhood, any suburb, any town in Chicago wants. They want to just have their exactly. life. They want to go to church. They want to get their kids to school. They want to get them home safely and all that. But the difference is the 1% that run roughshod in Lawndale and other places get all the headlines.
They do. And draw all of the tensions because they tend to repeat, actions so frequently that you think that it's a larger portion of the population.
So the kids that are at CCA, they were dropouts in the past.
All of them.
So what are you doing different for them that makes the structure and the discipline work this time?
Well, we're a small school. And we started as a community-based school. So a lot of our students say that we are a family. I think that what we do is love our kids. We see them as our, not as them, not as they, not as somehow different from us. So we understand, and we get a lot of training on restorative justice to help students to live and work together and talk to one another, on trauma, on how we can recognize it, and crisis intervention. So we try to keep ourselves appraised of what's going on so that we can respond to their needs, look at them as live, lovable human beings, love them and educate them and correct them as we would our kids.
You know,
yes, no, you can't do
right.
that.
Yeah, stay know. Between the lines here, mm-hmm. and we're going to be okay. Teachers, no matter where they are, always say the same thing. They say, if a kid's coming from a troubled home, it breaks my heart when they have to go home, because sometimes school is their safety island, you know, during the day, and it's the safest place and the best place for them. I don't know how you do it.
Well, you know, we have 68 kids that are homeless, so it's also the place where they get their food, you know, and we have hot breakfasts, hot lunches, and then kids can get a snack before they leave. So that's also part of creating a healthy environment, because we all need to be nourished and to live. So it's providing a holistic environment for the kids. Our social worker is one of our graduates, so it's important that we have people from the community that also works in the school, so that everybody can love and respect the students. What they want most is to be respected as, you know, whole, healthy human beings that need to be corrected at times.
Yeah, and what you've taught them is that education leads to respect, because it makes you a fully rounded citizen. I want Brad and Ann to come back from the break, talk a little bit about some of the people you've met through your years of supporting this organization that have changed your lives as well. And a texter just said, is Dr. Most and Brad, are they really Chick Evans scholars? Yes.
I went to Missouri. Kevin could only get into Kansas.
Right. But either way, they were college educations thanks to the Evans Scholarship Fund.
Absolutely.
Another fine organization. Yes. Details on the CCA Academy annual benefit number 24. 41 years. You are so into heaven, it's unbelievable.
41 years, 24th benefit. And it's because of people like you,
Brad and Ann,
that support us and that help to get people out and to support us, because we couldn't exist without support.
Well, God bless you, as always.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
9:28. CCA Academy. The great Myra Sampson's here. Brad and Ann Moster here as well. Either one of you. You got a family or somebody that really jumps out that you've met through the years? Somebody that is a fine example of what goes on at CCA?
So there are so many great examples, Steve.
CCA has done an unbelievable job preparing these kids for college, taking them on college visits, working with them on their ACT scores, really preparing them. And there are any number of people, but as you mentioned earlier, there are a lot that come back and teach at CCA.
Yeah, how many, Myra, do you know off the top of your head, how many folks you've had come back and teach for you, or maybe still are?
Well, presently we have a social worker and we have a registrar with us, but we've probably had five or six that have come back to the school after graduation. One of the things that really encourages present students is that we have a lot of students that come back and share with students where they are, and
yeah, they see the future that way.
Graduate.
This is what
they,
this is what could happen for you,
and yes, what the possibilities are, and that's also very encouraging.
Isn't that the key to the lock too? Because you show a kid what you could have versus the wrong path of where you could end up. And, you know, I mean, sometimes that's the light bulb that needs to be hit, right?
Right. It's a vision. You know, there is a future out there.
Right.
You know, it's not just surviving this day. It's,
right.
It's what's, you know.
And you can say no to the guy that wants to, you know, make you a member. And you can go and you can chase your dreams, your real dreams, on the right side of the law.
Well, and I don't want to give the impression that we don't have any, you know, gangbangers at CCA. We just insist that you leave all that at the door, because some of the kids, in order to walk neighborhoods now to survive, are gang members, but don't bring it inside. And we've had good success with our students saying if something was going to happen or if somebody needed to be protected or take John Doe home today and that kind of stuff. So they look out, they see CCA as a family and
sure.
Look out for one another while they're there.
I
can't say all of our angels.
Well,
they're developing angels.
Yeah. And tell me about the benefit.
So the benefit is coming up on Monday, May 6th. It's 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Lagunitas Tap Room. And if you've ever been to Lagunitas, it's actually a brewery, but there's this beautiful tap room in the center that's all surrounded by windows, and you can.
Is that the beer sanctuary?
It is the beer sanctuary.
Yeah. It makes some good beer.
Yeah, so it's a really beautiful space, and you can look around and see all the, you know, brewery activity going on around you.
And you get beer, food, fun, and you get to meet a bunch of amazing folks involved with CCA. And what do you get out of it, Brad Must?
Like you said, Myra's getting into heaven. I'm just going to try and sneak in.
Play the carom. Play the carom.
Just gonna distract.
Yeah, and Myra, you've done this for a long time.
Yes.
And I know how young you are. But I feel like every year you go, I don't know how much longer.
Well,
do you feel pressure that you've got to keep going?
No.
Because you love it.
I told my husband, I said, the best day of my life would be if I died behind my desk. And he said, that's absurd. I said, well, it's dying with your boots on.
And your boots,
crazy.
And your boots would be stylish to
and
be
And it's
sure.
away from Michael, which is good, right?
The 24th annual benefit for CCA. It's called Starlight. Lagunitas Tap Room and Beer Sanctuary. Information and tickets and all that. Is it sold out yet?
It's not. I think we've
got a handful.
We had a handful left, but it is kind of colorly. And again, you know, any way you want to support CCA, there's the website there. I think ccaacademy.org.
Is that the best way to get tickets in?
Yes, you can get tickets. And also, if you can't make it to the benefit but still would like to donate, you can donate online.
Well, that seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And you can always call the school and arrange for a visit.
See, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. And, you know, I've been telling you for years I was going to come over and do a show there. We've never been able to get it together, but we should do that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got kids that are interested, you know, in radio or television, that kind of thing.
We would love to have you.
Yeah. You know, we got to get that done.
I always love seeing you.
Well, it's great to see you. And thank you so much for the work you're doing. And I know every time we have you on the show, people get their own personal light bulbs turned on how they can help. CCA Academy.
Great. Thank you.
K keep up the great work. I know you will. Brad and Ann, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ann, are you sick of Brad yet since he's been home for a few
weeks? No, not at all.
You like having him around?
I do like
that's
him.
Good. That's good. Advertising guru taking some time off while he figures out what the next thing is.
Yep. There's a next step out there. Somewhere.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't involve more than 2 hours a day, it's going to be just fine. We'll come back with your headlines.
I'm Kelly Rizzo, and my extreme passion for food, travel, and music fuels my entire life. From growing up in a Sicilian family in Chicago who raised me to explore and expand my palate, to learning everything I can about the travel industry and putting it to use, and spending my years immersed in the culture and lifeblood that is rock and roll, I now want to share it all with you. Come with me to experience the hottest destinations of food, travel, and music around the world. It's time to eat, travel, rock.
Lightning and the thunder.
Chicago's own Kelly Rizzo, and we love Kelly, friend of the program. Wow, that microphone's a little hot, Steve. Turn it down then, Steve. Okay, I did. Let me go to Kelly now. Good morning, Kelly.
Hello, good morning to you guys. How are you doing this fine morning?
You know, we're fine, and you sound very awake for somebody that was up late at another event.
I was up late, and it is 7:40 in the morning here in California, but I'm chipper when I talk to you guys, so I'm really excited.
By the way, the on-demand series Eat, Travel, Rock TV still available, right?
Of course, yeah. I have, I think, over 75 episodes that you can stream on YouTube.
Well, there it goes. It's going to snow here tomorrow, so that'll be take care of the day. We can just watch those.
Oh, my God, it's going to snow there. I mean, how is that even possible? We're almost in May.
Right.
I'm sorry I'm missing it, guys.
Mother Nature's...
she said laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry I'm missing it.
Do I have this right that you and Mr. Saget were at a Scleroderma Foundation event last night?
You are right, yeah. So Bob is his main... You know, his main philanthropical focus is this Scleroderma Research Foundation. His sister passed away from scleroderma almost 30 years ago, and it's a cause very near and dear to his heart. So every year they put on what's called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine, and they have amazing comedians, and Susan Feniger, who's a top chef master, cooks all the food for 600 people. And last night we had Ken Jeong, Ray Romano, and a surprise appearance from Dave Chappelle.
Wow, cool.
So Dave Chappelle performed, and it was absolutely incredible. And then John Mayer got up and did a little impromptu, you know, guitar jam session. It was really special. So, and I think we raised, almost $1 million yesterday. They've raised about $48 million in the last 25 years for the cause.
Yeah, $1 million last night. That's not a bad night.
So, yeah, not a bad night.
Kelly, you've been around a lot of famous people and at a lot of big events, but I know you're a rock chick. Seeing John Mayer, just when you go to an event and you know you're going to see someone perform, that's one thing. But an impromptu concert that you weren't ready for, how cool is that?
It's really cool, and he loves to do this. He's very, he's become really chill about sharing his gift.
He's a generous guy.
You know, yeah, and when he's at an event like this, and he actually donated, a lot of musicians for an event like this, they'll donate a guitar, but usually it's not out of their personal stock. It's just, you know, maybe a guitar they have lying around, or their manager gets it. Somebody, you know, like a $100 guitar to donate, and they just sign it. He actually donated one of his personal electric Silver Sky guitars. That's like his new actual line of guitars that he came out with.
Okay.
And it went for $25,000, and actor Darren Criss bought that guitar last night.
Tremendous.
It was a really cool event.
And Chappelle is one of the funniest people on the planet. But frankly, your husband, Bob Saget, and Ray Romano in the room as well, did they do any time, or did they just stand around and laugh at it?
Well, Bob hosts the event, so he's, you know, getting his little two cents in throughout the entire night. And they did a silent auction that he and John Stamos co-hosted together. Jeff Ross worked the room a little bit. Norman Lear actually got up and spoke a few words. I mean, it was quite the event. But yeah, Bob, you know, he definitely doesn't tone it down for these events, even though there might have been a couple children present. So.
Well, listen, you know what you're getting into, kids.
Exactly.
All right, so I am told, as a social media influencer, fashion being a very big part of what you do, I am told, and I don't know if this is true or not, that you even have to consider coordinating your outfits to where you might be going out to dinner. Is that true?
Possibly. Is there something that a little thing that tidbit that I maybe put out there that I'm unaware of?
Well, I'm sure these are your words. You talk about wearing heels or wearing jeans with a band T-shirt or maybe a sexy dress with cowboy boots and mixing it up.
Exactly. So it's something that, for the most part, that's like my look is usually jeans and like a tee with some sort of, you know, like funky new sneaker or something like that. Sure. So I try to adapt that. If I'm going even out to like a dressier restaurant, I find a more elevated version of that. And obviously if I'm going to a concert or just hanging out, then I can, you know, wear the ripped jeans and more, you know, casual version of that. But that's usually my go-to look. And no matter where I'm going, I try to find a version of that that's appropriate.
I know recently you posted about a pair of shoes that you got you can get at DSW, that you're only wearing shoes with your name in it now.
Yeah, those were like a Kelly and Katie brand shoe, and they were just, it was funny because they reached out to me and they're like, we have these amazing shoes that we want to talk about, but we're only finding people named Kelly or Katie to talk about them.
Well, that's pretty cool.
There is something about that, though, because, you know, I don't know about men's clothes, Steve, but a lot of women's clothes or shoes or makeup, they will be given names of things. And when you find, like, I'll buy, I think my sister's name is Katie, and they seem to use Katie a lot, and so we buy everything that's branded Katie, even if it's not even something that's going to work for us, just because, like, oh, this is the Katie sweater. You have to keep it, you know?
So. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't buy any of the Dave Annette labeled stuff.
No,
but I could.
No, okay.
Yeah, I could. Sam, tell us where we find Kelly online.
Eat Travel Rock. That's her
presence. Yeah, eattravelrock.com and Eat Travel Rock everywhere else on the web, Instagram, Twitter. Very, very simple.
And the exciting thing is, Kelly, next month, she's going to be in studio with us because she's going to be back home.
Well, that's great. Maybe then you could explain to me what the deal is with John Mayer, because I don't see what John Mayer has.
I see what John Mayer has.
He's nothing special, you know?
Oh.
Is it the guitar? Is it the look? Is it the combination? Is it the mystery?
I think it's the combination, and I think he's really coming to his own more. I think, like, way back in the beginning, he was a little, you know, maybe a little goofier looking, and now he's become this, you know, good looking, tall, kind of mysterious guy, but his guitar playing has become much more standout, especially now that he tours with the Grateful Dead or Dead and Company. I think that really opened him up to a whole new audience too, and really kind of solidified his status as a guitar god.
Well, he also spoke to us with the Daddy Issues song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fathers be good to your daughters.
Yeah, a lot of girls can identify.
Right then.
Yeah,
so, your body's a wonderland.
That
and you're like,
is true.
And then he dated everybody, but he didn't reproduce with any of them. So he seems like he's like, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to be the one that gets to have a baby with him. You know, like
he's dated.
That's
every,
true. He's held out.
Outside of you guys and Mary, I don't think he's missed a beautiful woman in America. He's dated them all.
Yeah.
But you know what? He is actually a very kind, down-to-earth, generous guy. I mean, he sang at our wedding, and he offered to do it. We did not ask him.
How about that?
He did it on his own, and just the night before, he's like, I'd really like to offer my services to you guys. And we're like, how do we say no to that? You know, so he's...
What did he sing, Kelly?
He sang Free Fallen, and he sang A Face to Call Home, which...
That's sweet.
I hadn't heard before, but he told me, he's like, trust me, this is a good wedding song. It'll go over really well. And I'm like, look, like whatever you, I'm like, I'm not going to tell you what to sing. Whatever you want to sing, I'm happy with.
Have you ever heard a bride that chill about her wedding? Come on.
I'm proud to say I was probably one of the most chill brides ever. Like, I just told Bob, I'm like, just tell me where to show up and when, and I'll be there with a dress.
That's what I heard, and you look gorgeous. I'm looking at a picture of you right now.
Thank you, guys. I'm just so excited to see you in person next month when I'm in town. So
come in, and we look forward to seeing you as well. Thanks for getting up this morning.
Of course, for you guys, anything. So thank you again for having me, and I'll see you guys next month.
That's the great Kelly Rizzo. And how about that? There is $1 million for scleroderma last night.
I know. It's fun.
On a Thursday night.
You know, we always have the people in for Cooking with a Cure, which was for Sclerotomy Foundation here. Yep. It's something about that that brings eating and good music together and
booze.
Raising money for...
Bill and Wendy coming up, and also what's coming up at 10 in the news?
Let's just say I hope you didn't put your snow shovel away. That and more of the day's news.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's Uriah Heep.
That is not. I wish.
Raise your hand if you thought a Uriah Heep reference was coming today. Hmm? Anyone? Oh, you did.
I kind of thought there might be one, yeah.
Okay.
Wendy, that's Taylor Swift and her new song, Me.
Wendy, I got a present for you. I brought you a cookie.
Oh, thank you. What'd you do to it?
Nothing. What'd they do
with it? These are these special ones, huh?
Yeah, they're the apt cookies.
I'm concerned about Dave. Can I just take a moment to say I'm concerned about Dave?
Well, you can, but save it for a second. Right. We'll come back and do that. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Bill and Wendy are here. Bill, congratulations. Drafted by the Buffalo Bills last night in the first round.
Yeah, first round. I didn't see that coming at all.
I mean, you weren't even playing football.
I played touch football for a year when I was 11. I did not expect to get drafted.
Their scouts are everywhere.
Yeah.
Are you okay living in Buffalo?
Yeah. Buffalo's
not. Were you surprised when the cameras were in your living room, though?
That was a shocker. Okay. I'll be honest. I did not...
He's not used to him in his living room.
Right.
Well, good luck at camp.
God. Thank you.
You said you were concerned about Dave Ennett.
I'm concerned about Dave Ennett. Dave eats very, very healthy, as you know, and somebody gave Dave a cookie earlier, and when I came in, Dave was running down the long hall and then bouncing into the wall, and he saw me, and he goes, "Do you have Famous Amos's home phone number? Why would I have that? I don't have that."
I share your concern, because Dave has put on 75 pounds since the cookie lady was here.
25 minutes.
Yes,
I believe he ate like one nibble of the cookie.
No, did you eat the whole cookie?
More than yes.
You ate one whole cookie over there?
Attaboy.
I don't believe it.
Again, as I said earlier, welcome to the dark side.
I don't even care if it was only one nibble. I've had cookies here that I've made for the last 4 years. He's never eaten one of my cookies, but he ate an apt cookie. Well,
Dave has a stack of business cards that used to say Mr. Cat, and now they just say Maurice Linnell on them.
Right.
He crossed out Mr. Cat and wrote in Maurice Linnell.
And you know what I really worry about you most is not the sugar in you running into a wall. It's that Sandberg is legitimately hurt that you didn't eat her cookies.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I know. I'm a little scared at the moment.
Yeah, you should be. She usually starts by slashing your tires, just as kind of sending a mafia-like message.
That's at that point, I would take that gladly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going to snow tomorrow.
I know. What the heck is this?
Mother Nature's on crack.
All right. It's that simple.
I got nothing.
I'm driving up north tomorrow, too.
I don't think you are.
That might be 6 inches.
Mary, you're going up north on Saturday and coming back on Sunday?
It's cold, Mary. It's cold enough here. You don't need to go up north.
I got to go to Antioch tonight and then go up to see the babies.
Oh, well, you do have to do that.
I don't care. I'm going through snow. Who cares? I have to see them.
I get it. I totally get it.
Can't you Uber the baby to you?
I have four-wheel drive. No, I'm tired of Facebook. The kid thinks I live on a phone.
What about that, though, as a service? It's like Uber, but you just bring kids to their grandparents.
I like it.
Just babies, only babies?
Baby Uber.
Just babies.
Baby Uber.
That would be great.
Baby Uber, Boober?
That sounds like the laziest grandparents
Don't
ever.
Don't say that.
The baby's got to be brought to you.
Steve, that was a bad name for it.
Yeah, Boober sounds like a breastfeeding service.
You can incorporate both.
Do they have that?
Why, are you interested?
No, just curious.
Yeah. You should see their website.
I think you've milked this long enough.
Oh,
hello.
Stop.
Hello. We'll lactate again Monday, and enjoy your weekend.
I just don't know even what to say.
Follow that.
Back to milk and cookies, just like we started.
Hey! The topper.
There it is.